the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at EnergyHog.org. And from EnergyHog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to EnergyHog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4 Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, I'm Franklin Graham. Hurricane Katrina was one of the worst natural disasters ever to hit the United States. There are literally tens of thousands of people who have lost their homes. It's going to take months, possibly years, for them to recover. And not only tens of thousands of homes, but an entire city of New Orleans flooded and have to be evacuated. Many of those homes will have to be bulldozed, but Samaritan's Purse is here. We need people's help. We need supplies. We need donations. We need your prayers. And if you would like to help, you can donate by going online to www.samaritanspurse.org or give by phone, and that is 1-800-567-8183. That's 1-800-567-8183. 8183. God bless you, and please remember to give and to pray for the folks here in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company, and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I had no pain. I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49. If only I'd known. If only I'd listened.
The complications of diabetes often go undiagnosed and are far more serious than you might think. Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. But you can reduce your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Learn how. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
It's not too late. Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me, sisters. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I hope you had a great holiday. I hope you had a great holiday. We have much stuff to talk about. Much business to attend to. Many things to do. I took a little bit of a break over the holidays, Thanksgiving. Took a bit of a break. And I'm glad that I did. I'm very glad that I did, because there's so much going on out here. I
I watched the Sunday morning shows. And all you can say is that it's just amazing. It's amazing where we are as a nation. I would say that my holiday was fairly quiet. Unlike George W. Bush, if he wasn't fighting with his daddy during the holiday season. As you know, he and his father apparently are not on speaking terms. But if he wasn't fighting with his daddy, demonstrators were at his house once again in Crawford, Texas. There have been lots of comments about lots of observations made, let me put it that way, about the number of people joining Cindy Sheehan during Thanksgiving to protest against George W. Bush, just to ask for George W. Bush to talk to her. And there's a whole lot of difference between folks being able to take their time out during August and come and join Cindy Sheehan and folks being able to take time out during Thanksgiving to come and join Cindy Sheehan. 200 people joined her. That's a big deal. I think that's a big deal during the Thanksgiving holidays. It's an amazing thing. Throughout the day, there were people throughout the day that would join the 200 protesters that were there. But here's the thing. I just have to say this. Those that were protesting on the other side of the issue, or demonstrating, I guess is a better word, on the other side of the issue, I find it kind of amazing when you look at the signs. Let me share this one sign with you. They call themselves pro-Bush, and this is America. I think we're entitled to have pro-Bush, anti-Bush, ambivalent Bush. All of those things. We're entitled to have all of those points of views expressed and vigorously expressed. I think that we should have all of that. I know that we should have all of that. But here's the rub. Here's the rub. One sign said, "Real America won't wimp out." And I just find that a fascinating point of view. Well, let me be honest. I find it a baffling point of view. A baffling point of view. Real Americans won't wimp out. What does this have to do with bravery? And the other piece of this is, who are the people that are wimping out? Because if that is the measurement, then I would say, I would submit that 90% of America consists of wimps. Because most Americans are not sending their children to Iraq to not wimp out. Most Americans are not sending their children there. So what does that say about America? I don't understand the refusal to have any kind of self-reflection is just mind-boggling. Most of America is not sending their children to this war. 99% of Congress is not sending any of their children to war. 99.9% of the United States Senate not sending any of their children to war. 90% of America is not sending their children to war in Iraq. They were sending their children to war in World War II. Well, lots of Americans were signing up, getting up, going out and doing the war thing. Why is that? And how does that, how do you measure the wimp factor? Doesn't the evaluation of the wimp factor start at home? Start with you? Whoo, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I mean, does the rest of America know something? That this holder of this sign, real Americans won't wimp out? Huh? Whew. Maybe most of America knows this story. That on Saturday, the United States admitted that its soldiers in Afghanistan had burned the bodies of two dead Taliban guerrillas and taunted insurgents about it. The military admitted that. Why did they admit it? Well, because it was on film. That's why they admitted it. And then the United States, our military says, we did not mean it as a desecration. Maybe that's just the new math, and I always had difficulty with the new math, understanding it. But, huh? We didn't mean it as a desecration. You hollered out over the... No, I mean, let me be clear. The soldiers' red messages... Reading messages means that somebody sat down and typed them up. This was not a casual act of burning bodies for cleanliness or hygienic reasons. This was clearly a propaganda act. And what would you have to say for it to be the United States says it wasn't meant as desecration. Well, what would you have to do for it to be the desecration? You burn the bodies and you taunted people about the burning of the bodies. What would you have to do in the hearts of the United States military? What would you have to do for it to be a desecration? Eat the bodies? What would you have to do? Here's what the messages the soldiers read. You allowed your fighters to be laid down facing west and burned. Now, the bodies were intentionally facing west. They didn't mean it as a desecration. You're too scared to retrieve their bodies. You don't mean this as a desecration. This just proves that the lady boys we always believe, this proves you are the lady boys that we always believed you would be. And who were the people that were reading these messages? A psych op specialist, Sergeant Jim Baker. Maybe that's why Americans are not joining up in this war, this invasion, these attacks. Maybe most Americans know about the war that's in the United States and they decided to stay here and fight. What war? Well, the Defense Department has expanded its program aimed at gathering and analyzing intelligence within the United States. They're creating new agencies. They're adding personnel. They're seeking additional legal authority for domestic security activities in this current world that we live in. Check this out. The White House is the battle is taking place on two fronts. The White House is considering expanding a little known Pentagon power agency called the Counterintelligence Field Activity, or the CIFA. The Pentagon has pushed legislation on Capitol Hill that would create an intelligence exception to the Privacy Act, allowing the FBI and others to share information gathered about the United States, about you and me, that would be U.S. citizens, with the Pentagon. What we're being told is that we're deputizing the military to spy on law-abiding Americans in America. We're being told that the war's over there. I think the war's right here. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. But she doesn't hear a word they say.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Comtrex. Southbound Hanley Road is closed at Litzinger due to utility wires down on the roadway. You can use Brentwood or Big Bend to get around. Northbound I-55 between 143 is an accident involving an overturned vehicle. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom and River De Pere, look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh, look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 70 between 370 and the Blanchett Bridge, everything seems to be moving well this hour. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is flowing freely. Westbound 255 between Telegraph and Lima Ferry. Look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and New Florissant. Everything is on the move. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound 64 at 5570 split looks good as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything is on the move. And northbound Route 3 at Monsanto, look for a slow to an earlier morning slow-moving train. Westbound Page at 170 is flooding, has the left lane closed. Where only the left lane is open and the right lane is closed. Southbound Hampton at 40, look for a report of standing water on the roadway. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Comtrex. Comtrex Deep Cold Chest Cold has the ingredients specifically designed to break up stubborn chest congestion and relieve sore throats and coughing. Comtrex knocks out every kind of symptom. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, windy, partly sunny, high in the mid-50s, but the temperature will be falling into the 40s by this afternoon. This evening, colder, cloudy, and a chance for flurries after midnight. The low should be in the lower 30s. For Tuesday, colder, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries. The high will only be in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy until early evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding at 50 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field has 53 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifah Lyles, Membership Vice President for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You can ride with the James Gang. Just saddle up with Dennis James online at WGNU.net.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common gloss.
Next on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what's going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Don't forget, in the next, in 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by author Robert Allen. We got him back. He is the author of Cracking the Millionaire Code. We're going to be talking about that this morning. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. I don't know. Let me try to give you three stories here that you may not be aware of. I want to start with good story. And it's a good story, and it's an amusing story. When I talk about good stories on an international way of talking, I got to talk about Hugo Chavez. He has the Venezuelan people have their own news network. They don't have to rely upon CNN. They don't have to rely upon Americans telling their people what the news is. This region now has their own news. And Hugo Chavez has a weekly television show. It's called Alo, Presidente. Hello, President. And it dominates the Venezuelan airwaves every single Sunday. It takes phone calls. They talk politics. He screens videos. And this is a guy that gets on the television, he screens videos. You imagine? The president of Venezuela has a talk show on Sunday, and some of the things, he talks about movies. And the thing about it is that George W. Bush and anybody that's paying attention in that administration should be very concerned. Not because Hugo Chavez is doing anything wrong, but Hugo Chavez is changing the world and he has the ability to do so. What's the latest fight? Cachorro del Imperio. What is that? The Empire's puppy. That's what Hugo Chavez called President Venance Fox. Carotro del Imperio. Whoo! And on his Sunday show, Hugo Chavez expanded upon the insult. He wasn't through with it. He wasn't through with it. He told Fox, do not mess around with a guy named Hugo Chavez or he might just get poked. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Fighting words. The Mexican government demanded an apology. Instead, Chavez yanked their ambassador from Mexico City. But you got to understand, because I talked a little bit about this last week, you got to understand the full ramifications of this. Fox is, the Mexican president Fox is, you know, he is a lapdog of the United States. He does what the United States, what this administration wants him to do. But he's up for re-election. And the leading contender is an opponent, a populist former mayor of Mexico City named Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador. And you know who he's mad at? You know who he's running against? It seems like George W. Bush has united everybody. He's running against George W. Bush. I guess he saw how that worked in Virginia and in New Jersey. So he's running against George W. Bush, too, in Mexico. He's running against Fox. Fox represents everything about George W. Bush. And suddenly, the United States could be losing its grip in the part of the world that has been traditionally considered the United States' backyard. And you know what some folks are saying? If George W. Bush hadn't got into Iraq, they would be paying attention to what's going on in Mexico and in Venezuela. How can you pay attention? And understand the agenda of Hugo Chavez. Since 1998, he has set his oil-rich country on a radically new course, reversing centuries of elitist rule, shifting benefits in health care, education, and other services towards the long-ignored majority. Some folks will call him an idiot, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. His enemies portray him as crazy. But go ahead on. They are definitely underestimating this man. He has a very clear project for Venezuela, but also a project that goes beyond Venezuela. He has the means to do it. He has so much oil. He has a Supreme Court with his supporters. He has established a network of militant partisans known as the Bolivian Circles. He's bolstered his popularity among the poor. and he's increasingly projected his influence beyond his country's borders. Huh. Oh, and Fox cannot seek re-election. Mm-mm-mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Huh. Huh. Perhaps George W. Bush should turn off the Teletubbies and turn on to Alo Presidente. Maybe he should be watching that on Sundays instead of Teletubbies. You might get a clue about what's getting ready to happen in Central America. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I'll be back.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools. One's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Monday morning at 7, our guest is Latifa Lyles, membership vice president for the National Organization for Women. She'll be going over some documents that have come to light from Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito that indicate he may not be a justice women can count on. His remarks made during the Reagan era indicate he's likely to scale back women's rights and protection against employment discrimination, as well as tinker around with the Family and Medical Leave Act. A closer look at Judge Samuel Alito, Monday morning at 7 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. The Chinese government tried to keep secret a chemical spill that contaminated public drinking water and threatened the well-being of about 4 million people. The spill took place about 2 weeks ago in the city of Harbin after an explosion at a chemical plant released the cancer-causing substance benzene into the Songhua River. That provides the main source of municipal water for the city of Harbin. Officials acknowledged an explosion happened, but only said there was no threat of air pollution to any towns. They refused to mention anything about the spill going into the river. Several days later, it was announced that the municipal water would be turned off to do maintenance work on the pipe distribution network. But it's now the start of winter in China, so this led to rampant speculation that the government was preparing for an earthquake. That caused officials to finally have to admit that a chemical leak had happened in order to prevent a mass panic. And Dateline London. A member of parliament has filed a motion asking for the government to publicize a leaked document that had President George Bush wanting to bomb the offices of the Al Jazeera network. Last week, British officials told news organizations they could be prosecuted under the Official Secrets Act if they publicized the document. The newspaper, the Daily Mirror, got the memo from two civil servants who used to work for a former member of parliament. Those two have now officially been charged under the official secrets law. The Mirror did not print the actual memo, but reported on it. The conversation between Bush and Blair took place in April of 2004. Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera, while Tony Blair argued against such a move. The motion to publish the document was made by Labour Party member Peter Kilfoyle. This is your wake-up call global news update.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. And stay tuned for today's solutions with David Lenihan from 4 to 6.
Aw, are you thirsty?
If you're a cat owner, you should know subtle behavioral changes can sometimes be early signs of illness.
Wow, you really need a brushing.
Increased thirst, decreased grooming, and many other changes can be harder to detect in cats. And cat owners may not notice a change until the disease is advanced.
You don't seem yourself lately.
That's why every cat should receive a wellness exam twice a year. Wellness exams can help your veterinarian detect, treat, or ideally prevent health problems before they become serious.
I think it's time you had a checkup.
Call your veterinarian and schedule your cat's wellness exam today. or visit avma.org for more information. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company, and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm invisible.
Baby, you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Baby, you won't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Carfo, good morning. Good morning.
That had any power that tried to spread the wealth around a little bit, they call it a Robin Hood. You know, today they call him a communist. But have you ever heard that Bush referred to himself as a communitarian? Yeah, look that word up in your dictionary, right?
I would spend all evening trying to find it.
A communitarian.
A communitarian. What would that? What was the context of that? What was he trying to say?
They were asking him, like, how would you describe? I think it was something relating to how would you describe your political position, like what, you know, what are you? And he called himself a communitarian, which if you look it up, essentially it refers to somebody that practices communism. So yeah, you got to look that one up. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, either the guy doesn't know what the meaning of the word was, or he's revealing something to us that you know, that we don't quite understand. But I noticed that what they like to do is they like to vilify everybody by throwing those loose terms around like that. And you know, we need to be looking at our own people in government at what they're up to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's exactly how Russia ruled. They had a ruling elite. And then there was everybody else. And look at what's happening in this country. Mm. By the way, over the weekend, I watched an Alex Jones film relating to the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Have you ever done a show on that?
No, I have not.
Do you know about it?
No, I do not.
Oh, my goodness. What a
I'm a I'm a communitarianism. I believe in communitarianism, so apparently I haven't heard of it.
Oh, communitarian.
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 Right. All right. Communitarian.
Just like it sounds.
All right.
Anyway, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report refers to the, this film refers to the two sets of books that our governments use, and that state, local, school boards, you name it, they have two sets of books. They have the budget, you know, that they that they're always crying poor and we need more money, that part. And then they have the other set of books that really reveals all the assets, including all the pension funds and all. you know, we're told, like, what our country's supposedly in debt, $8 trillion or whatever, right? You know, the federal government's in debt, $8 trillion. The truth of the matter is, if you added up all the assets of all these 54,000 government entities, that includes the federal government, all the state governments, the county governments, the cities, you name it, you add up all the value of their pension funds. Now, this film's several years old, like 6 years old. It was done in 1999. That amount alone added up to $28 trillion, not billion, but trillion, $28 trillion. Now, that's enough. I divided it up real quick. That's enough for roughly $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States.
Wow.
The total value, which was all the assets, and that would include their buildings and all this sort of thing, it's $60 trillion. So that's where the other $32 trillion comes in. Now, can you imagine this? They kind of likened it to this situation. Suppose the guy makes $100,000 a year. He runs the household budget, gives his wife $30,000 to run the budget. Doesn't tell her what he makes. He's really making $100,000, okay? Well, she runs it on $29,000. Gee, they have a $1,000 surplus that year in their household budget, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, now, if she spends $31,000 or $32,000, now they went into debt, didn't they? Now he's going to send her out to work a part-time job so she can cover that $1,000 or $2,000, and here he's got $70,000 he's not telling you about, you see?
Uh-huh.
See, they're running it the same way. Now, the fellow that does this, he's in Prescott, Arizona, the guy that discovered this, and he has a financial background. He had no clue that this was going on until about 10 or 15 years ago, and he's been going around the country exposing it, and it's just a blockbuster.
What's the name of the film?
It's called CAFR, which relates to Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
Very good.
You can even look these things up on the web. I tried accessing the one for the city of St. Louis. It was real tough to get into. And then all the figures were blurred, like there was a, you know how sometimes there'll be two or three numbers typed over one number in one space, and you really couldn't read the number. And sometimes they're real sneaky about it. They'll say this amount is in thousands, and this amount is in, you know, this is maybe the true amount, but most of them are in, the amounts are in thousands, and when you're talking states or federal government, the amount might actually have to multiply by a million to get the real amount. And now they're even hiding, they're not reporting everything in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report anymore. In fact, one of them that I looked up said that this did not include the pension funds, which happen to be 92% of the wealth.
I will look that up. I will definitely look that up.
Yeah. This fellow's name, by the way, is Walt Burien. B-U-R-I-E-N.
B-U-R-I-E-N. Very good.
Sure, if you typed him in, you'd get a lot of hits on the website. And then you type in Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for any government entity, and a lot of them post them on the web. They send these out, by the way, Liz, to news, organizations, you know, all the local TV stations, you know, the head guys get the stuff.
Lots of
universities get them, but they're keeping them secret. They are not letting people know about it, but you can go and obtain one if you knew what to ask for.
Very good. Thank you, George.
You're welcome, Liz.
Bye-bye. You're on the wake-up call, Labrina.
Hi, yes, Miss Liz. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling with a concern as far as my Vashon High School. I have three students that attend Vashon, and two boys and a girl. And my daughter was approached by a football player that plays for Vashon High School to go to the homecoming. And when my daughter turned him down and informed him that she was not going and that she refused to go with him, the boy got aggressive with her and started calling her all out of her name on the school bus. So after that, the guy had approached my daughter in a lunchroom, and a fight broke out. He started punching my daughter. So her two brothers jumped to her defense, and, of course, all three of them were arrested, along with the guy that jumped on my daughter. All four of them basically were arrested, and I had to go and get my children from jail. Two went to the Justice Center because they're 18, and then I had one at 16 that went to juvenile. after they were released from jail, I received a call from the principal stating that no actions will be taken because my children had defended themselves. Well, that was false information because after the fight, my children were supposed to be suspended for 10 days because Vashon supposedly have a zero tolerance thing with no fighting, which I understand. So I accepted a 10-day suspension. But I asked what was going to happen to the guy that started the fight because...
Okay, quickly, and what happened to him?
He was suspended also, but the record show proved that he had been in three or more fights since then. The boy is
okay,
just...
What I need to do is I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to get your information from you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you so much.
All right.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be going to the next hour. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Again, latest from ABC's Aaron Katursky watching the trial in Baghdad.
The trial was adjourned until December 5th, so arrangements could be made for defense lawyers. Two of the original attorneys for Saddam Hussein's co-defendants were murdered after the trial started, and a third fled the country. Some human rights advocates have argued the case should be postponed even longer until the overall security situation here improves.
U.S. Embassy says an American is missing in Iraq. He was with a group of humanitarian workers who vanished Saturday from Baghdad. A ruling from the European Union's Justice Commissioner who says any EU member that operated a secret CIA prison could lose its voting rights. Wild weather in the nation's midsection, tornadoes in Arkansas and Kansas blamed for a highway death and damage to dozens of homes in Fort Riley. ABC's Aaron Hayes in Walton, Arkansas.
It caught a lot of people off guard, coming at the end of a holiday weekend as people were traveling on a beautiful fall day. But as nighttime came, everything changed. This was a powerful system that spawned tornadoes from central Kansas to eastern Arkansas for a couple of hours.
In Colorado, a blizzard has closed a 150-mile stretch of Interstate 70. And abortion case goes before the U.S. Supreme Court this week. It involves a New Hampshire law that requires minors to seek abortions who are seeking abortions to notify their parents and then wait 2 days before undergoing the procedure. Planned Parenthood says there should have been an exception in cases where the health of the girl is at stake.
The Supreme Court has said time and time again that any restriction on abortion must have an exception to preserve women's health.
New Hampshire lawmaker Fran Wendelblow.
An abortionist could argue that every single pregnancy has a health risk, so they should be able to do an abortion without the parental notification law being in effect.
This is ABC News.
Check this out.
What's this? It's Boniva. Boniva is the only once-monthly prescription treatment for postmenopausal osteoporosis, clinically proven to build and maintain bone density with just one tablet a month.
Once a month?
Oh, wow, that's great. I didn't know you could take just one tablet a month for anything. With Boniva, you can.
You should not take Boniva ibandronate sodium if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or cannot sit or stand for at least 60 minutes. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you experience difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. You do the right thing to treat your osteoporosis, including diet, exercise, and taking calcium and vitamin D. Ask your doctor today about once-monthly Boniva. See our ad in Cooking Light. Call 1-888-MY-BONIVA or visit Boniva.com. Once-monthly Boniva. There's only one.
Been there, done that. Many college students displaced after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans don't plan to come back, says ABC's Bob Schmidt.
About 18,000 college students displaced by Hurricane Katrina found a welcome at dozens of colleges and universities, but under one condition. They had to return to New Orleans when their schools reopened. Tulane, Loyola, and other colleges and universities in the Big Easy plan to resume classes in January. They're in desperate need of paying students. Some who went elsewhere say they like it where they are, but the schools that took them in are reluctant to let them transfer and stay. Tulane's dean of admissions says very few students at his school have actually withdrawn, but he says if someone's going to be extraordinarily unhappy, don't come back. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
Economists are saying it was a so-so start to the holiday shopping season. Bargains lured shoppers to the stores on Friday, bigger numbers than last year. But analysts estimate that sales from the Thanksgiving holiday weekend were weaker than a year ago. Joe Bennett, ABC News.
Hi,
I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News. This check of WGNU News is brought to you by Hellsburg Diamonds. In the news this morning, the Missouri State Fire Marshal is warning consumers about alternate heating sources, the number one cause of home fires in winter. Due to rising fuel costs, many people will most likely be looking to alternate heating sources, such as space heaters, which have been the cause of at least two deaths in the St. Louis area in the past few weeks. Missouri State Fire Marshal Randy Cole says a big reason fires occur is lack of education about these heat sources.
I may use an extension cord that's not rated for the power cord to that heater, and properly using kerosene heaters. Carbon monoxide is another issue during heating season, but it is an educational issue, and it seems like we are continually trying to educate the public and make sure that they do stay fire safe.
According to the National Fire Protection Association, electric portable space heaters are factors in about 2,300 fires nationwide, resulting in 30 deaths, 180 injuries, and $54 million in property damage each year. Placing heaters too close to combustible materials causes almost half of those fires. In other news, clergy in the St. Louis Archdiocese are asking their parishioners not to sign a petition dealing with stem cell research. The Archdiocese began a campaign over the weekend to urge Catholics not to support the proposed amendment to the state constitution. The petition asks for a ban on human cloning, but would also ban state and local governments from preventing lawful stem cell research. In order to appear on next November's ballot, the petition needs about 145,000 signatures. Some residents are cleaning up this morning after a round of severe storms. Thousands of people were without power for part of the night. In Maplewood, high winds knocked over a semi-truck in the Walmart parking lot off of Hanley Road. The wind brought down trees and tree limbs in Webster Groves and in parts of Jefferson County. No injuries have been reported. And finally, with the holiday shopping season upon us, many people run the risk of becoming victims of identity theft. Susan McGarvey, a consumer specialist at the University of Missouri, says one way to avoid identity theft is to regularly check your credit report.
It's a good thing to do that annually, to look over it, to make sure there's not anything on there that shouldn't be or any red flags that might pop up.
McGarvey says in addition to never giving out personal account information, you should not keep things with your Social Security number in your purse or wallet. She says if you become a victim of identity theft, it can take years to correct the damage. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Hellsburg Diamonds. Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Find it at Hellsburg Diamonds. For a store near you or to shop online, visit Hellsburg.com. Hellsburg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by American Express. Hanley Road is closed at Litzinger. Wires are down on the roadway. Southbound lanes are closed. Use Brentwood or Big Bend. Northbound Hanley is also restricted. That traffic is jammed south of Manchester. Northbound 270 at Marshall, there's an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and traffic is jammed through Sappington. Westbound 64 from Illinois 111, there's an injury accident. Two right lanes are blocked and traffic jammed approaching 255. Westbound 270 from 170 all the way into Lindbergh, look for an accident involving a tractor trailer. The left lane is blocked and traffic jams near Old Halls Ferry. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge and Long Road, look for an accident reported there as well. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Bates, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 at 141 in Mason, there's slow traffic. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel and 270, look for everything to be running smoothly. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, look for heavy volume there as well. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is lighter than normal in this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at Monsanto is slow due to an earlier slow-moving train. Southbound Hampton at 40, there's a report of standing water. On the roadway, Watson at Penbrook, look for a broken water main, so use caution there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by American Express. Wish you could get a Range Rover for only $5,000? American Express card members can get incredible pricing on this season's most sought-after items
and MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, windy, partly sunny, high in the mid-50s, but the temperature will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. This evening, colder, mostly cloudy, a chance for flurries after midnight. The low should be in the lower 30s. For Tuesday, colder, mostly cloudy, chance for flurries with a high only in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy until early evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. And then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 50 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 51. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. LizBrown.com, revolution at LizBrown.com. Our show, The Wake Up Call, is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's also iPodded there, too. Good Lord, we have so much stuff to do. Good Lord. I'm looking at this article. And sometimes I think that there is so much information out there that sometimes we just feel like we've heard stuff before, but you haven't. You haven't heard these stories before. The reality is that it's just getting worse. That's what it is. Things are just getting worse. Things are just getting worse. I'm looking at the story out of the military magazine, a military magazine, news magazine, Army Times. Troops in Iraq are firing 50 caliber machine guns at such a high rate, the Army is scrambling to resupply them with ammunition. In some cases, they're dusting off crates of World War II machine gun rounds and shipping them to combat units. Huh? I don't understand. And I am the first to admit I am not an economist. I am not an accountant. I'm not a numbers person. That's why I went to law school, not a numbers person. But please tell me where the money is going. If we're spending trillions of dollars, billions of dollars a week, if we're spending billions of dollars a week on this war, where is the money going? It's not like we have a million troops in Iraq, because we don't. It's not like, I don't understand, why are we shipping 50 caliber munitions? They're called 50 cal. Why are we dusting off World War II machine gun rounds and shipping them to our combat units? Think about it. World War II age-old weaponry. Another article in the Army Times is there is a recall order of 18,000 flawed armored vests that our soldiers. Now, you feel like you've heard that story before? Well, yes and no. This is the second recall in 6 months of Army body armor vests, body armor recalls. Army Marine Corps issued 18,000 flawed vests. And this is the second recall in 6 months for the Marines. They were all produced by Point Blank Body Armor of Florida under a contract to the Marines. Now, there are two things I want you to pay attention to. The Pentagon's Inspector General is considering. Did you hear the word I just used? Considering whether to launch an investigation into how the two services buy their equipment and why the vest didn't meet the specs and made it onto the field. They're considering that. In the meantime, the same Pentagon has launched into a program to have more access to your personal information. They're already fully vested in the idea that they need to be able to have private information about you. But they're only considering whether to launch an investigation into how the military buys these vests. These are amazing times that we live in, folks. These are amazing times. Now, the Army Times is putting a good spin on this. They're saying that when they pulled out the 50 caliber crates marked from 1945, 55, 65, 75, 85, 95 to the over 60 years old, they pulled out these weapons pristine, is what he said. Just like it was made yesterday. All righty then. I just want to know where the billions of dollars every week is going for if we're dusting off 60-year-old ammunition to fight this war. Where the heck is the money going? Because those have long been paid for. So where's our money going? 60-year-old weapons. flawed body armor. 2,000 dead soldiers. Whew, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. If you had a chance to listen to our award-winning world news reports from the last hour, you heard Joe talk about this memo that I want to continue on with this story. I got to ask this question. What do you think you have coming as an American? Keep that question in your head when I tell you this, as I tell you this. George W. Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera's television station. What do you think you have coming? A secret British government memo said that Tony Blair had talked Bush out of bombing Al Jazeera's headquarters in Qatar last year. George W. Bush wanted to bomb. Now, he had to be talked out of it. He had to be talked out of it. And what's the White House's response to that? Quote, "The allegation that Bush wanted to bomb Al Jazeera is so outlandish that it does not merit a response." Huh? Is that a yes or no? They said it's so outlandish it doesn't warrant a response. Is that a yes or no? Did you do it or not? Now, I suppose that if we didn't have the pictures, the accusation that our soldiers in Abu Ghraib were torturing, affixing electrical prods to the genitals of people who had not been tried, I suppose that would have been too outlandish to respond to, too. Thank goodness for the pictures. I suppose it would be too outlandish to have a response that our military would be burning the bodies of dead Iraqi people, pointing them toward the West and taunting. I suppose that would have been too outlandish to merit a response too, if it wasn't for the pictures. I suppose the idea that the United States was dropping weapons of mass destruction, white phosphorus, on Iraqi civilians would be too outlandish, too. But for the pictures, George W. Bush had to be talked out of bombing a television station. And the Bush response is, it is so outlandish that it does not merit a response. I'm going to ask you all, take a moment of your time as you're fixing to get to work so that you can do some shopping on the internet. They call this Internet Monday, that everybody does their shopping today at work. So before you get to work to do your shopping online, I want y'all to just take a moment to go back in time with me. What would your mama and what would your daddy say to you if you have chocolate chip crumbs on your mouth? You left chocolate chip fingerprints all around the cookie jar. The lid of the cookie jar is open. There's a videotape that your evil brother took of you taking the cookies. And the cookie jar is empty. And when your mama or your daddy asked you, did you take the cookies? And you said to them, you know what, Father? That accusation is so outlandish it does not merit a response. I think that 20 years later your behind would still be stinging. What the? Is that a yes or no? Is that that's so outlandish as you wipe the cookie crumbs off your mouth. That's so outlandish it doesn't warrant a response. Yo behind would still be singing 20 years later. In fact, your first son would come out of his mama with his behind hurt, and that's how hard you would be spanked after some kind of crazy response like that. Al Jazeera has gone to London to demand that the British government explain why George W. Bush had to be talked out of bombing Al Jazeera. The Daily Mirror, that's the newspaper in Great Britain, quoted one unnamed government official saying, that the George W. Bush appeared to be serious. Britain's Attorney General has warned under media that they could be prosecuted under the Official Secret Acts if they reveal anything else about the memo. Huh. What kind of country do you think that you have? And how far do you think that this government is, it would be, how far do you think that they would be willing to go to get at you? Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And this FYI, folks, Al Jazeera was attacked twice, once in Kabul and once in Baghdad, and two of their reporters were killed. Who attacked them? 2001. The Kabul office was hit by United States bombs. And in 2003, Al Jazeera reporter Tariq Arubo was killed in a U.S. strike on its Baghdad office. The United States has denied deliberately targeting the station. The Daily Mirror said that Bush told Blair that he wanted to target Al Jazeera. Oh, Lord. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Because as we sit here and sit here today, as you drive to your day, into your day, into that rising sun this morning to start your day, news organizations in the UK can no longer report the contents of the memo. In a related printed in the Daily Telegraph, MP Boris Johnson proclaims, quote, "I'll go to jail to print the truth about Bush and Al Jazeera." 454-0400 is my phone number. These are scary times. These are scary times. And are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? I got another story for you. It just seems like the stuff just keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. There's a movie coming, a movie that came out, a film that came out. It's about a blood scandal where officials knowingly sold AIDS-tainted blood for a huge profit and then deliberately shipped the blood to thousands in Europe and Canada who unknowingly contracted AIDS and hepatitis. This took place in Arkansas, and apparently Bill Clinton is connected to it. Oh, my goodness. I'd rather hear about that story than Monica Lewinsky any day of the week, wouldn't you? wouldn't you? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You don't want to miss our Mondays at 9 today. Robert Greenwald, especially the week after, the weekend after, the first Monday after holiday shopping. You don't want to miss director Robert Greenwald. He's the director of a Walmart, the high price of low, the high cost of low prices. It's an incredible documentary. There's this one scene that I want to talk to Robert Greenwald about China and how they make the toys in China. And if you see this documentary and you see what these Chinese people go through, I submit to you that you'll never buy another toy from Walmart. You never will. You don't want to miss the Mondays at 9, our special Mondays at 9 edition. Robert Greenwald, director of Walmart. The high cost of low prices. My name is Liz Brown, and that's at 9 o'clock, Mondays at 9. I'll be back. Stay with me.
But now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Southbound Hanley is closed at Lissinger due to wires down on the road. You can use Brentwood or Big Bend to get around. Northbound 270 at Marshall, there's an accident that's been cleared, but traffic is still jammed at 55. Westbound 64 at Illinois 111, look for that accident that's been cleared. However, the traffic still jams at Illinois 157. Southbound 55 between Rivas Barracks and Green Park, there's an accident. Right lane is blocked. There are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and Rivas Barracks, the vehicle's slowing. Take a look at that accident. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident on northbound 270 in Marshall. Eastbound 40 at 141 and Mason, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and the Blanchett Bridge, everything is moving steady this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into 170, stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's on the move. Southbound Hampton at 40, there's a report of standing water in the roadway. Watson at Pembroke, look for a broken water main. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Windy, partly sunny today, high in the mid-50s, but the temperatures will be falling this afternoon into the 40s. This evening, colder, mostly cloudy, with a chance for flurries after midnight, low in the lower 30s. Tuesday, colder, mostly cloudy, a chance for flurries. The high will only be in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy until early evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 49 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 52. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.com. WGNU.net. And if you want to catch up on an hour that you missed of the wake-up call, go right ahead at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. My goodness. I want to share this story with you. I want to share, I think that perhaps a show needs to be done on this. But I look at, maybe we do have to get to the bottom before we can get to where we need to get to. Last week there was a person that leans to the right on the show. He talked about how, well, asking the question of whether or not we wanted to, as I criticized the profits made by the gouging, the profiteering made by Exxon and others with their highest quarterly profits in the history of the world. And the question was raised, well, do you want to you might as well move to a socialist country? I look at this story coming out about the cuts that are being made to the budget that would deny food stamps to more than 220,000 low-income people each month. It would cut basic food aid by nearly $700 million over the next 5 years. And it also allows states to impose substantial new co-payment and premium fees on millions of low-income Medicaid beneficiaries and to scale back substantially the health care services that Medicaid program provides. Now I look at those two things. After we've all stuffed ourselves, or many of us have stuffed ourselves with the holiday food and company, and we had time to snuggle in our warm homes, I look at the story on the front page of the New York Times. And it talks about, forget my career. My parents need me at home. Until last February, Mary Ellen Guess was the typical career woman, a radio news anchor with a six-figure salary and a suitcase always packed for the next adventure. Whether it was a third world coup, a weekend of wine tasting, or a job in a bigger market. But now, she has a life that would be unrecognizable to colleagues and friends in L.A., New York. She has returned to her family home near Detroit to care for her parents. One of them that is lost to dementia, the other lost to sorrow. She sleeps in the bedroom of her childhood. And she starts her day by reminding her father how to spoon cereal from his bowl. And then she takes him to an adult daycare, begging her mother to use her time alone to get a massage or to take a painting class. Nobody asked me to do this, she said. I lived a very selfish life, and I knew that I could make a difference here. Now, this 49-year-old woman has moved back home and is living in her bedroom of her childhood to take care of her parents. Here's the thing. God knows if she was making six figures, she has money to take care of herself. and money to contribute to the life of her mother and father. What about the rest of the folks out here? As we see food stamps being cut from 220,000 Americans, we see Medicaid being cut back brutally, almost by gleeful politicians, prideful politicians, that they're cutting budgets on the backs of those most vulnerable. Do we have to get to the place that every American, because it's no longer just us. Well, it's never really been just us. How are you going to afford to take care of the needs of your parents? How are you going to be able to afford to do that? That wasn't in the plan, was it? When you went about making children and making your home, that wasn't really in the budget of how to take care of your parents. But we do. We will. How do we? These are scary times. And maybe we have to get to the bottom before we start demanding socialism. Doesn't look so bad now, does it? Wouldn't a universal health care plan be a fabulous thing for families? Wouldn't it? Carphone, you're on the wake-up call.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, everybody thinks that this is a Medicaid, Medicare, pharmacy. I don't know if they think this is a help to America or a hurt. Just like you said, they're dropping the poverty level under $12,000. People in nursing homes, these people who have families in nursing homes and stuff, because we've been through this, who their parents are only getting about, what, $13,000, and the nursing home may cost $12,000 of that, they're going to have to start paying their pharmacy part of that. People don't realize, I don't know what people think, that they get on television and give the impression that this is a national health care program. It's a cut in health care.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and another thing that you were mentioning, the Senate and the Congress gave themselves, they got their 3% raise, which raised their salaries about $3,000 or $3,500.
$3,100.
Say what now?
$3,100.
But they took their raise,
yes,
and they went on, and people will say, well, it's just a small part of the budget. If we have to suffer, and if America has to suffer, everybody has to suffer. Why do you give to these kings and queens of America, yet the poor people suffer? I don't understand how you can come up with that equation.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Stay with me.
Sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it, I'm done. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the greatest man alive.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline, Tucson. President Bush may be sending a semi-secret message to European leaders who have expressed recent concerns over secret CIA flights carrying prisoners to locations for interrogation sessions. The president plans to stop at Davis-Monthan Air Base in Arizona today on his way back to Washington. This base is where dozens of surplus military and commercial planes were procured by the CIA and its many sham groups to ferry prisoners to secret locations for torture. The president will be accompanied by Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, as well as Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff, two senior administration officials who have supported such CIA tactics. And Dateline Toronto. A former member of the Black Panther Party who has lived in Canada for about 25 years has been extradited to the United States. Joseph Pennell has been ordered to return to the U.S. to face charges of attempted murder in connection with the shooting of a police officer in Chicago back in 1969. Pennell was 19 years old at the time of the shooting and has never denied he did it, but claimed it was in self-defense after the officer attacked him. He lived in the Toronto area under a new name, but was arrested in July of 2004 after the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI requested Canadian authorities search a database for a fingerprint match. A Superior Court judge issued the return order, but now a federal justice minister in Canada will have to rule on the issue, and that could take about 6 months. Pennell's defense lawyers say there are major inconsistencies in the testimony the officer gave in the matter, but much of the evidence has also since been destroyed. The officer was left paralyzed from that shooting. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Get wowed by Woo! Listen to Debbie Donzi at WGNU.net for women empowering women, or wild energetic women, or wild wacky women, or for...
When you discover something of true value, that pearl of great price, you take special care of it. The 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party celebrates its pearl anniversary this year by honoring those who help others throughout Metro St. Louis. This year's party is from 3 to 7 p.m. Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road. The parking is free. The ticket price of $10 per person includes a family-style buffet, a DJ from Complete Music Company, the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancer, and the Sweet and Sassy Dancers continue the tradition of great entertainment. There are also drawings for door prizes, including, what else, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are also available at $5 each. Seating is limited to 500 persons, so get your tickets now and don't be disappointed. They're available from B Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Caffey at Contemporary Living Options, or from Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th, 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4 Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920 WGNU.
A St. Louis Family Christmas will be presented by the American Chamber Chorale on Saturday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood, Missouri. For ticket information, call the Lutheran Family and Children's Services at 314-754-2786. You can also call Shannon Junger at Concordia Lutheran Church at 314-922-7772. Something for the family from WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, a visit with Director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9. The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. It's an amazing thing. I'm still struck by this front page story in the New York Times about how people, adults, are going back home to take care of their family, their fathers and their mothers. Check this out. According to the most recent study by AARP and the National Alliance for Caregiving, more than 60% of the caregivers in the United States are women. Fewer men are involved as the care becomes more intense. Women are 61% of the total caregivers. Men are 39%. Level 1 care, which means increasing hours of involvement and task perform, 58% are women at level 1, 42% are men. Level 5 care, 71% are women, 29% are men. 41% of people take a leave of absence. 37% of people go from full-time to part-time. 35% give up their work entirely. 8% retire early. 83% have to leave work early, come in late. There's this beautiful prose. I don't know. This is a woman, 49 years old, came back home to take care of her mom, her dad who has Alzheimer's, and the mother who is consumed with grief. The daughter says that her career skills have made her a more forceful problem solver than any of her other sisters. The mother says she's made our life doable. Sometimes I can't believe that she hears it. She's here. It just blows me away. The daughter and the mother comfort each other with white lies. The daughter tells her mother, I didn't give up anything to be here. But they both know better. The mother reminds her daughter, whenever you have to go, you'll go. But their eyes tell another story. The father, who has Alzheimer's, across the dinner table, seems lost in his soft whistling, the soundtrack of family life. But something in the conversation catches his attention. Daughter, he asks, where are you going? No place, she told him, and took his hand. Just home with you. In the meantime, 220,000 Americans will no longer have food stamps if this Congress has its way. My name is Liz Brown. These are amazing times that we live in. I'll be back with Cracking the Millionaire's Code. I'll be talking to Robert Allen, author. He'll be joining us from San Diego, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that. I remember saying that progress is being made.
If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett.
We adjourned until the 5th of December.
Delayed again. Saddam Hussein's trial on charges of crimes against humanity resumed briefly in Baghdad today, then recessed until December 5th to give the defense time to replace two lawyers who were murdered and another who fled the country after he was wounded. The former Iraqi leader and seven co-defendants are charged in the deaths of nearly 150 Shiite Muslims after a 1982 assassination attempt on Saddam. Meanwhile, says ABC's Aaron Katursky in Baghdad.
The U.S. Embassy here in Baghdad confirms an American is missing in Iraq. It's believed the American was kidnapped along with two Canadians and a Brit who worked with the group Christian Peacemakers Team. The four were supposed to be in Karbala, but the organization said they never showed up. There are few aid groups left here in Iraq because since the fall of Saddam, criminal gangs and terror groups have kidnapped more than 200 humanitarian workers.
Wild weather at the tail end of the holiday weekend in parts of the country. Tornadoes, high winds destroyed at least 8 homes in Fort Riley, Kansas. A driver was killed near Little Rock, Arkansas after a storm scattered lumber across a highway. A long stretch of I-70 in Colorado closed due to blizzard conditions.
It's easier just to shut the traffic down here where we can accommodate some lodging for those motorists.
Colorado State Trooper Eric Wynn, more than 70 stranded motorists, stayed at a Baptist church in Lyman, Colorado. Mixed reaction to the holiday spending kickoff this weekend. An economist for shopping centers called the weekend results lukewarm. National Retail Federation talking about a blockbuster beginning to the holiday shopping season. Today's been dubbed Black Monday for Internet sales. Yes, even at work.
A lot of people won't admit to doing their online shopping at work, but we always see that. That's why Monday and Tuesday tend to be big online days and tend to be big online shopping days.
This is ABC News.
All your life you've been told to
aim higher.
But if you have high cholesterol, your doctor may tell you to
aim lower.
And if diet and exercise aren't enough, ask about prescription Crestor. Crestor Rosuvastatin Calcium. The 10 milligram dose of Crestor along with diet can lower bad cholesterol by up to 52%. That's compared to 7% with placebo. Your results may vary. Crestor has not been shown to prevent heart disease or heart attacks. Crestor is not for everyone, including people with liver disease and women who are nursing, pregnant, or may become pregnant. Simple blood tests are needed to check for liver problems. Tell your doctor about other medications you're taking, or if you experience muscle pain or weakness, as they may be a sign of serious side effects. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal, or for more information, call 1-800-CRESTOR, or visit us at Crestor.com. There you'll also learn how AstraZeneca may be able to help if you can't afford your medications. If high cholesterol has your doctor saying, aim lower with Crestor.
Reeling from the recall of the painkiller Vioxx, drug maker Merck says it will cut 7,000 jobs, 11% of its workforce, by the end of 2008. Half of the targeted jobs are in the U.S. Some of the labels inside U.S. Border Patrol uniforms are making some federal agents uncomfortable. The story from ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
The Border Patrol uniform labels read, "Made in Mexico." The Border Patrol Council, the Guard's 6,500-member union, calls it embarrassing. Guards and lawmakers are concerned that uniforms associated with combating illegal immigration could fall into the hands of criminals or terrorists. Congressman John Carter, Texas Republican, says if they're making the uniforms in Mexico, what's to stop someone from walking across the border in a Border Patrol uniform? How do you know our guys from their guys, he says. U.S. officials are looking into what should be done. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Driver fatigue may have been a factor in a California bus accident yesterday that killed two passengers. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. In the news this morning, Metrobus is changing some of its services and routes. Beginning today, Metrobus is offering more than 20 new and revised routes. Todd Plesko, the Chief of Planning and System Development for Metro, says the most significant change is happening on Route 58, the Clayton-Ballas route. Plesko says the changes come as a result of customer complaints as well as an increase in ridership due to rising fuel costs. For more information, log on to metrostlouis.org. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports at least 18 deaths in crashes on Missouri highways over the holiday weekend. That's up from last year's total of 13 fatalities over the Thanksgiving holiday. The victims include two Jefferson County teens who died in a head-on crash late Wednesday night, 17-year-old Anthony Barker of Festus and 16-year-old Victoria Dunn of Crystal City collided with a Bloomsdale couple on Highway 61. Some residents are cleaning up this morning after a round of severe storms. Thousands of people were without power for part of the night. In Maplewood, high winds knocked over a semi-truck in the Walmart parking lot off of Hanley Road. The wind brought down trees and tree limbs in Webster Groves and in parts of Jefferson County. No injuries have been reported. And an aerosol can is blamed for a brief, fiery scare over the busiest travel weekend of the year at Lambert Airport. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a piece of luggage caught fire Saturday night on a baggage carousel in the main terminal when an aerosol can exploded inside the bag. Authorities quickly put out the fire without having to evacuate the terminal. No injuries were reported, and there's no word on what was in the aerosol can. And that's a check of WGNU News, brought to you by Illinois Lottery. Play daily. Play nightly. Play when you need a smile. Play for the rush. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Have fun. Play responsibly. That's WGNU News, and I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by American Express. Southbound Hanway is closed at Litzinger due to wires down in the roadway. You can use Brentwood or Big Bend. Northbound traffic is jammed at Big Bend. Southbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Green Park, there's an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. There's a brief slowdown. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, there's road maintenance operations. The exit's closed. You can use 11th Street. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and Rivers Barracks is slow after people are looking at that accident on the southbound side. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor and Mason is also slow. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 at 55 and Marshall stop and go to an earlier accident. Also, eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79 look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 to New Florissant, it is stop and go due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at Spady and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, you've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 at 64 and the Poplar Street Bridge, you have slow traffic. Westbound 64 at 25th and 5570, everything is slow go there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, it looks good. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, everything's on the move. Watson at Pembroke, there's a report of a broken water main. And northbound 67 at 55 and 44, look for heavier traffic than normal due to an earlier accident on northbound 270. Also, we have a report of an accident at Merrimack in Louisiana. We'll keep you posted as further things come to light there. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by American Express. Wish you could get a Range Rover for only $5,000. American Express card members can get incredible prices on the season's most sought-after items at MyLifeMyCard.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Windy today, partly sunny, high in the mid-50s, but the temps will fall into the 40s by this afternoon. This evening, colder, cloudy skies. Chance of flurries after midnight with a low in the lower 30s. Moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of flurries with a high in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy until early evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, but the high will only be around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 54, both under cloudy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next as she speaks with Robert Allen, the author of Cracking the Millionaire Code. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU. I see.
hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget this show is broadcast live on the World Wide Web from Xenia to Zimbabwe, www.wgnu.net, and we are archived. The Wake Up Call is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Those are the digits. Handle your business. This morning, in this hour, we are going to be talking to author Robert Allen, author of Cracking the Millionaire Code. He, along with Mark Victor Hansen, have written a book, Your Key to Enlightened Wealth, Cracking the Millionaire Code. Robert Allen, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. Great to be here with you.
It's great to have you here. I was just talking in the last hour about a story that was on the front page of the New York Times about a woman, 49 years old, who made six figures, having to come back home to take care of her parents. She left the broadcast business. She had to come home and take care of her parents. And a lot of people are having to face new economic paradigm that there are economic things that are impacting a lot of our lives that a lot of us hadn't planned on. And I think that this is a good time for people to start thinking about what they can do to be able to face these new economic challenges that are going to be coming in our lives, don't you think?
Yeah, well, when you hear the words, who wants to be a millionaire, a lot of people say, millionaire, that's a big number. That's way too big for me. But it's not who wants to be a millionaire, it's who needs to be a millionaire.
Mm.
Not only because of economic challenges that might happen in your life, but because, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now, 20, 30, if you want it, when you get ready to retire, you're going to need that kind of money. So let's just, you know, put this behind us about how hard it's going to be and just say, hey, let's go do it. And it's not that hard, frankly, because everybody listening has a million-dollar idea.
And your book is a handbook. I mean, we should call it a handbook because it's a book that you write in and that you can carry with you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a book that shows you how to crack the four codes that you're going to have to crack in order for you to be extremely financially successful, you got to figure out what you're born to do, and we call it the destiny code, because if you're tapping into what it is you just naturally, you know, like this comes to you naturally, then you're going to find that money flows to you a lot faster. And if you're doing things that aren't natural to you, you're going to find that it's a lot harder. So crack that, what we call the destiny code. Figure out what you're good at, what you're born to do, what kind of things make you get up excited in the morning. You know, for me, you know, I like to write. I like to invest in real estate. I like to start businesses. It seems just natural to me. But even if it's not natural to you, there are ways you can make money from the little idea that comes into your head. We call that the million-dollar idea. And then you have to figure out how to take that idea and turn it into a business that where money flows into you while you're sleeping. Like last night when I was asleep, when you were asleep, money was either flowing into your life or was flowing out of your life. And for most Americans, money flows out of their life every night. They got their interest on their credit cards. It's just killing them. And so the money is literally, on this interest that works 24 hours a day, it flows out. And what I want you to do is to have money flowing in where they have either businesses or internet sites or places that are selling a product you have that do this 24 hours a day while you sleep. That's the first step, just to make yourself think, what can I do to make money 24 hours a day even when I'm not there?
A lot of people don't even think of that as something to do, putting that on their things to do list.
Well, they're not used to it because as when you go to work every day, you have to be there to make the money. You know, like 8 hours, I got to put my money in, and I get paid by hour. That's the exact kind of wrong thinking in terms of money. You have to say to yourself, hey, instead of me working for the money, I've got to have the money work for me. And unfortunately, most of us have got our money sitting in a bank somewhere at 1 or 2% interest, you know, in our savings accounts, or 3 or 4 at the most. And that doesn't even cover inflation. We got to have our money flowing into us at 10, 15, 20, 50%. Mm. And it requires a totally different kind of thinking. Like, how do rich people really make money while they sleep? So it's the beginning of the thought process. And then once you get that idea, there are three other codes you have to crack. One is what we call the prism code. That's the light of a prism where it refracts into different colors. You would do that in the science class when you're a kid. We use that as an analogy. You have to make your idea different because everybody has million-dollar ideas, but they just don't know how to make them work. And so you have to make your idea unique and different enough, funny enough. For instance, my co-author, Mark Victor Hansen, wrote a book of stories. Well, there were thousands and thousands of books on stories, and no publisher wanted it. He had dozens of publishers turn them down. They said, no, our stories are different. Like, these are the chicken soup for the soul stories. Every story is tested hundreds of ways to make it. When you read a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, you know, it causes goosebumps, as they say. You cannot read one of those 101 stories in a Chicken Soup book without literally tearing up at least once. And they are very powerful stories, profoundly, you know, moving stories. And that's what makes them different. They are very, very unique. So that's how they took an ordinary storybook and turned it into a book that really had power, and therefore people started talking about it. And when they start talking, oh, money starts to flow. So it's got to be your idea has got to be different enough. And there's a step in the book, a chapter or two that teaches you how to make your idea really different, so that it's fun and exciting. Then the two other codes you have to crack. One is what we call the angel code, which is realizing that around you have to have a team of people to help you. You can't do it alone, and most entrepreneurs are very, very independent. They don't want to have anybody help them. They want to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Well, there's also that whole American philosophy, too, that you do. And nobody pulls them. It's scientifically impossible to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, nobody does.
You don't do what you're doing without a team.
Absolutely.
And I don't do what I'm doing without a team, and yet most of us as entrepreneurs, we hate to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's why most businesses don't work. They fail. 90% of them fail in the first 5 years. And that's just not good. And they wouldn't fail if they had a team of people that you got around them. And you don't have to have a fancy team. Anybody around you can see your weaknesses, and you can see theirs. So you gather together with a small group of people, meet every
2 weeks.
But you also talk in your book, Cracking the Millionaire Code, when you're dealing with the angel code of it, too. This process involves introspection. You really have to figure out who you are in order to move forward.
You have to figure out what really makes you excited to be alive. Where is the buzz for you? And most people have talents. They have gifts. They have hobbies. Turn your hobbies into profit so that when you get up in the morning, you love to do what you do and you love to make money at it.
Mm.
Instead of just, you know, doing it because you're enjoying it, I want you to have somebody else sending you money too. And that's the process of not only cracking the angel code. The final code is the star code. When a customer does buy something from you, you've got to treat them like a star. And if you don't, you just run out and find another customer to have somebody send you money, then you forget the customer that you just sold something to. That customer eventually either becomes your greatest advocate or they become your greatest enemy. Your enemy is they just don't come back and they don't bring their friends. But if you treat them like, wow, you treat them the best you can, then they'll not only come back again and again and again, but they're going to bring their friends. And there's your marketing. They'll do all the marketing for you, or you'll have to spend money advertising in millions of different ways. And that's what we call this the star code. Most businesses don't do this. They bring the money in the door. They don't treat their customers well. They go out and find new customers, and they eventually don't make it.
And in the book, Cracking the Millionaire Code, you also have these wonderful stories of people and how they did it and what worked for them. Give us one of the examples of your favorite story for the star code.
Well, I like the one story about the couple of young women who created this little tiny, they call it a tingler.
Yeah.
It's a little claw-like thing that you rub your head with. You give yourself a massage with this tingler. Wendy Robbins, and there's a story in there about her. She's just a young gal who just had an idea, literally had nothing to her name, not a dime. And they started marketing this little tingler to various stores around their area, and pretty soon they got on television in a sitcom. Somebody was using it, and everywhere you go, you see this little tingler. It's been marketed all around the world. These gals have made $10 million with this crazy little thing that costs them about, you know, $2 to make. It's a little metal thing that you give yourself a head massage with. And it's just a crazy, simple, silly little idea, frankly. But because of that, these gals have made millions of dollars, and they still continue to make it because it's sold all over the world today. It's just a simple idea that anybody can turn into millions if they want to. And what I want you to realize is that there is an idea that you've had. Everybody has them, where they say, oh, that'd be a great idea. Unfortunately,
they don't know
what to do with it.
Absolutely.
And what Cracking the Millionaire Code does, in a fun way, is it just says, it tells you exactly how to turn it into the profit you need to create the millions you'd like, so you can do the good you want to do. And that's the final part of the message, is becoming an enlightened millionaire. It's not about just piling up millions for yourself.
I love this. I love this idea. I love the marketing component of it, the selling yourself component, the story of Norman Lear.
Yes.
I love that story. Share that story with us.
Mark and I have are friends with a lot of top people, and Mark is a friend with Norman Lear before he died, and each of the stories in the Cracking the Millionaire Code takes an example of somebody who had an idea and launched it into millions. Norman Lear, the TV guy, passed away, by the way. He lives in a mansion that's so big you can hardly imagine it. And each of us can take these crazy little ideas and turn them into millions if we just want to.
And he had this 80th birthday party that he wanted to have, he wanted to raise some money for a charity.
So he sold his birthday party, basically, and everybody got to come to his house. It's like 80,000 square feet. Mark was one of the people who were invited, and they raised millions of dollars by just literally selling his birthday party.
And it's a simple, I mean, it's obviously, it's not an idea that works for all of us. A lot of us would have $2,000 to go to somebody's birthday party, but it's not the amount of it, it's the idea of it, isn't it?
That's right. And that's becoming an enlightened millionaire is a person who says, I want to make money, and I'm going to give some of that away immediately. And rather than piling up, you want to give it away.
Mark and I are tithers. We love to give. And the first 10% of the profits we earn go to various different charities. Every Chicken Soup for the Soul book has been tithed from the earliest, since 10 years ago, and they've given away millions of dollars. We believe it's one of the reasons that it's successful is because it's dedicated to giving away. So higher power looks at an idea like that, and looks at the people who have ideas like that, and they said, gee, I want to help that person become successful because they're a giver. If you're just going to blow it on things for yourself personally, higher power doesn't like that. I mean, yeah, you can have wonderful stuff for yourself. We live in beautiful houses ourselves, but we also like to give it away, and that's what makes the concept of enlightened wealth different.
And that's one of the things that is a component of the book, Cracking the Millionaire Code, is the integrity that is infused all throughout this book. You know, that if you're going to prosper, you have to do it with integrity and do it for the right reasons and then give back.
It's one of the reasons that people don't like capitalism. They say it's so selfish, mm-hmm. You know. You see a lot of pictures of people on the front page of the newspapers, you know, people who stole the money to get to the top. And it gives a bad impression for all of us here in America because we think that that's how millionaires are made. They're darkened. But frankly, below the radar screens, there are 8 million millionaires in North America, 8 million. I mean, there are millions of us. And most of them, if you really look at them very carefully, you find out that they gave their way to the top, not like the ones you see on the front page of the newspapers who stole their way to the top. And that's what Mark and I are trying to do, is to create a million enlightened millionaires who want to give portions of that money away and realize that the more you give, the more it literally flows back to you in the craziest kind of a way. It's almost miraculous, but that's what happens.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Dolores, you have a question for our guest, Robert Allen, the author of Cracking the Millionaire Code.
Yes, Mr. Allen, I'm so glad that Dr. Brown had you come on. Giving is absolutely essential. With so many of us have ideas, and we've invented things, and we have prototypes, and it's so much trouble and work and almost impossibility going through the patented system. How can you keep people from taking your idea, you know, like a large company?
There are a lot of great little books on patenting and how you go through the process, and even a cheap way, an inexpensive way to do it. But eventually, every idea is going to be attacked from other competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of being afraid of having somebody steal your idea is the idea that stops most people, most
uh-huh.
inventors. They just, therefore, they never get their idea done because they're afraid somebody's going to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my idea was nothing down, how to buy real estate with little or no money down. I came up with that idea, you know, almost 30 years ago. And as soon as I started putting out into the world, which was a very successful idea, I had all kinds of competitors immediately. Even today, you'll see all kinds of people talking about nothing down real estate.
Yes,
you do. I was the one that created that.
Mm-hmm. And I worked it. I did that.
Yeah, and the point I'm trying to make is that you're going to have competitors no matter what you try.
Mm-hmm. And
you just have to be an idea machine. You get your ideas, your business is going, you're successful at it.
Because there are many of us out here that have them, and we don't know how to really bring them to market.
Well, that's what Cracking the Millionaire Code does. I don't know if there's a way for us to get her address, but I'm happy to send her a copy.
Absolutely.
A free copy is my gift for
you. Thank you so much.
You can read it and learn how to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores. And Robert, fear is a big part of this, the reason why people aren't in the millionaire place, isn't it?
It's the big one. It stops all of us. We don't think we're worthy. Number one, that's part of the fear of it. Number two is we're afraid to risk a little bit of money to put it out there to see if we can have somebody send us some money back. It's probably the biggest thing that stops the people that I know from going forward. And when we have our seminars around the country, we have people raise their hands. I say, how many of you have ever been afraid of rejection? And, you know, 95% of the people raise their hands.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's the most expensive fear you can ever have. You have to be willing to be rejected. You have to be willing to stumble.
People don't want to look foolish. People don't want to look like I'm less than perfect out here. Fear is a big one.
Huge, huge. So you ask yourself a question. You're either going to have a little fear now or a big fear later.
Mm.
A little fear now means I'm going to just stumble a little bit. Or later is I'm going to go through my entire life and look back over my life and say, you know what? That fear really that really stopped me. It took away everything. It took away my life. It took away my dreams. The big fear will be your life is over and you can't do anything because it's done.
Mm.
I want you to have enough courage today to take your little idea and to figure out a way to make it an idea that somebody else would want, and then to take your idea and to launch it in a tiny little business, and you can do it from your kitchen table with $50. It doesn't require a lot. It just requires a little dedication, and to stop thinking that it's other people that make the money and never you. I believe you are destined to have a $1 million idea to not only bless your life, but to bless lives of millions of other people. And so stop looking at the fear of, you know, you losing money. Think about the fear of not helping other people. That's what you should be afraid of.
And we have to take a quick break here, and I know that you have to leave at quarter till. But when we come back, because I love the spiritual component of this book, I'd like to talk about the enlightened wealth statement. If we
got it.
Okay. I'm talking to Robert Allen, author of Cracking the Millionaire Code. He's joining us from San Diego, California. He, along with Mark Victor Hansen, wrote Cracking the Millionaire Code. Stay with us, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'll be back.
Mom's hand picks me up each time I fail. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy sheet, see. Nancy, don't you whip that boy. What you want?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Southbound Hanley is closed at Lissinger due to wires down on the roadway. You can use Brentwood or Big Bend. Northbound traffic is jammed at Big Bend. Eastbound 70 at Air Flight, Lambert Airport, and Natural Bridge is an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic jams approaching St. Charles Rock Road. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway is closed. You can use 11th Street to get around there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270 is returned back to normal. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270 is slow. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44, look for everything to be on the move. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant, look for everything to be on the move there as well. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for that traffic to return back to normal. Westbound 70 at 94, there's construction. Left lane is closed. Westbound 5570 at 64 and Popworth Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing, it is a slow go this hour. Watson at Pembroke, look for broken water main. Lindbergh at Union, there's a report of an accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Add a little excitement to your day this holiday season and pick up some Scratchers tickets from the Missouri Lottery. They also make great stocking stuffers. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny, windy today with a high in the mid-50s, but the temperatures will be falling into the 40s by the afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of flurries after midnight with a low around the lower 30s. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of flurries. The high will only be in the upper 30s. Tuesday evening, cloudy through most of the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. The high is expected to be around 40 degrees. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 54 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54 and some clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call and her guest, Robert Allen, the author of Cracking the Millionaire Code. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I have the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
And a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel. And a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop in my faith.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I am talking to the author of Cracking the Millionaire Code in San Diego, California, Robert Allen. Robert Allen, welcome back.
Good morning. And by the way, this is a wake up call for people's financial lives, isn't it?
There you go. There you go. I want to talk about the Enlightened Wealth Statement. What is this?
But everybody has a banker's statement where the banker says, well, how much do you have? And if I want to lend you any money, you have to show me what your cash, your collateral, your character, all those things that the banker always asks you to do, whether it's a him or a her. Your banker's always challenging you. But what I want to have you challenge yourself to do is to see the assets you already possess, the ones that the banker doesn't look at. What kind of assets do you possess? Your talents, your connections, people that you know. Some of the problems that you have, frankly, are very, very powerful assets. And most people don't look at problems as assets. But everyone has problems. And you either can turn them into profit. You can turn a profit into a problem. You can turn a problem into profit. Or you can turn your problems into nothing. You know, you can just stew in your problems. And everybody who has a problem usually can turn that problem into profit by just saying, well, gee, if I just solve this problem in my life, and we were just listening on one of your ads just a second ago talking about weight loss. I mean, what if you were 100 pounds overweight? And what if you said to yourself, what if I discovered my own weight loss secret, figured out a way that worked for me, and I lost 100 pounds? Take pictures of yourself before and after, and then you have proof that what you decided to do worked. And now all you need to do is to find 10,000 people to pay you $100 for your secret. And that 10,000 times 100 is $1 million. I mean, everyone who loses 100 pounds has got $1 million written all over them.
Mm.
It's a problem that they had.
Mm.
And they solved it. They figured it out. So look at every problem that you do possess and say, what if I fix that? Somebody in the world wants to know how I did that. And then you become the one that sells that, how to do it. In other words, when you do the enlightened wealth statement, it asks you to look at all of those assets you don't normally put a money value to it. Look at your eyesight. How much is that worth? How would you sell like one of your kidneys for $1 million? The answer is no, you wouldn't. But you own them. You own your kidneys. Since you won't sell them, it's part of your wealth that most people don't think about. So when you fill out this enlightened wealth statement, it's very empowering. You say to yourself, wait a second, I am already a millionaire. In fact, every person listening to us right now is already a millionaire. You have assets that you won't sell. Therefore, since you own them, you are already a millionaire. Quit looking at yourself as broke or not having any money. That's just part of the equation.
And then
enlightened wealth is realizing how valuable you really already are, how many assets and talents and gifts and connections and even problems that you have that are worth millions if you think about it in a different way.
And why is it important to do this? Why is it important to take stock like that?
Well, it's all about your self-worth. You are already extremely valuable.
This is part of getting to the fear, to getting rid of your fear with this by taking an enlightened wealth statement?
Absolutely. People come away with that exercise, that one chapter on enlightened wealth statement, and they go, wait a second, I really am worthy. I am valuable. Instead of feeling worthless, and I don't know how many people have ever told me that, they come up to me, I just feel worthless. That was because you have been miscalculating your real worth. When you finish with the enlightened wealth statement, you come away with a feeling of more self-esteem. And when you have that million-dollar idea, rather than just throwing it away like, that's not for me, your million-dollar idea and say, hey, wait a second, I could do this. And then you move through your fear.
And you also have on the other side of that liabilities. The hidden assets are what I own and the liabilities of what I owe. Talk to us about some of those.
Well, how much does your disorganization cost you?
Mm.
How much does your low self-esteem cost you?
Mm.
How much does an addiction that you have cost you, or a blind spot, or a fear, or maybe even anxiety, or poor health? There are a lot of liabilities we have, and I call them lie abilities. That means the ability to lie about them. A liability can be seen as either something that takes you down or something that can actually lift you up.
Mm.
It depends upon the way you view it. So instead of looking at your disorganization and saying, oh, that's why I'm rich, that's why I'm poor, say to yourself, well, gee, I am disorganized, but what if I fixed it?
Mm-hmm.
What if I said, I could be organized? What would it do for you? What would it do for other people who saw you change your life in that area? And would they be willing to pay you $5, $10 for a little book you could write about it? What if you literally consulted with somebody, sold your consulting services to or disorganized people? Put an ad in the paper. You disorganized? That'd be your ad? Disorganized?
Mm-hmm.
I used to be disorganized. You could say in your ad, but I fixed it, and it's changed my life. And now you become a person who teaches other people how to change their life.
I saw a wonderful movie years and years ago, Defending Your Life. Did you ever see that movie?
No. Oh, yes, I did.
And isn't that the best?
Meryl Streep was in it, wasn't
she? Meryl Streep was in it as well as, I can't think of his name. But it was a wonderful movie about fear, about how fear messes up your life and how you have to keep doing it again and again and again until you conquer the fear. Albert Brooks was the other person in the movie.
Great movie.
It is a good movie. And it gets to this whole fear aspect, because I swear to you that fear is the thing that holds us all back.
You know, if we were to count the cost of a negative thought, a fearful thought, how much it actually costs you every day, every time you have a negative thought or a fearful thought, it costs you about, let's say it costs you $100.
Mm.
It really not money out of your bank account today. It's money out of your future bank account. If you really saw the money disappearing from your future bank account, realizing that every time you thought a negative thought, you became poorer in the future. You change your life if you really realized it, if it was for real.
Mm-hmm.
And if $100 was taken out of your real bank account every time you had a negative thought, it wouldn't take you very long to figure it out, and you'd stop thinking negative thoughts. Well, negative thoughts are expensive. Mm-hmm. They literally drain your financial dream. They destroy it. You have to think positive constantly in the middle of a negative world. It's difficult because you turn on the television and sometimes you listen to the radio news. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of all of that, this last century, we had a depression, we had wars, we had all kinds of terrible things occur in this last century. In the middle of all of that, though, some people still made fortunes because they didn't allow those negative things to stop them. And I don't want you to allow these negative, anything negative to stop you. Just decide you're going to do it and move forward one step at a time. You can do it.
Let me get to one more call here. Charles, you have a question for our guest, Robert Allen.
Hello?
Yes, you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. I had a great idea, I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
And I send it into one of these TV invent tech or something like that.
Yeah.
And they sent back one money.
They sent what?
They sent back, they liked the idea and told me what all they could do and all that, but they wanted me to send them $900.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what a lot of those ads are doing. They're trying to attract people who want to take their ideas to the next step. And frankly, you may need to have to spend money, but you may want to start it with going to your local library and checking out a book on how to patent your idea, how to make your idea better, and how to test your idea all by yourself.
But this is part of the book tells you about surrounding yourself with angels, surrounding yourself with other people. That's why it's not a solitary pursuit. You have to go to other people that have done this, talk to other people about how they have done it.
And you can do it either the professional way, where you can go to companies that do it for you,
mm-hmm.
or you can get together with some of your local neighbors together, and each one of them has a million-dollar idea, and go through the process we teach you in cracking the millionaire code and how to take your idea, make it special, make it different, make it exciting, and do it in what I call the poor boy way. And you can have the more professional way if you want. I did it the poor boy way, frankly. I didn't go to any person that really took my idea to the next level. I just ran a little classified ad in my local newspaper.
Mm.
It cost me $25.
Mm.
And that ad generated a huge amount of response. I had cracked the code. A lot of people will test their ideas on the Internet with a little classified ad on the Internet that costs you almost nothing.
And the Internet, I believe, is really going to be the great equalizer.
No kidding.
People are going to be people that never could have a business in their life or felt they never could absolutely can do it on the Internet.
It's not only is it the greatest equalizer, but it's the simplest, fastest way to test an idea, see whether it has any buzz to it. If it does, you can test it. For instance, I had a gal went to one of our little seminars, and she heard an idea about going online. She didn't know a lot about online ideas, but she just decided to test it. She found there were some business people, and she Googled an idea. She Googled something and found out there were 10,000 people who were kind of advertising it, but the top 50 people were the ones who got all the hits. She went to the bottom 10,000, the ones at the very last of the list, who got no response whatsoever, and found that they had a product that they were trying to market, but they just don't know how to market it, and got the rights to market that idea for cheap. It was almost nothing. And then she found somebody who had a list, a database of people online that might want to receive a product offer on it. And she made a little relationship where she found somebody had a list of 700,000 emails, and she marketed her product to this list of 700,000 emails. This wasn't her product. It was a product that she found online somebody else had. She didn't have it. And she marketed this idea to these 700,000 people, and in one day made $130,000 in cash. This was just from one little crazy idea.
Unbelievable.
And she's now made over $1 million in just in the last 7 months by marketing somebody else's product to somebody else's list. She had nothing. She had neither one.
Wow. Wow.
So, as you say, it's the greatest equalizer.
Yes,
the Internet is fantastic. It just means you have to learn how to do whatever whatever the marketing process has to be.
And the other piece of the internet, I think, is the equalizing from the perspective of people's fear factors. You don't have to worry about what you're wearing. You don't have to worry about what your office looks like. You don't have to have those kind of mental barriers that keep you from pursuing things.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is.
That nobody has to know who you are.
Exactly.
But whenever I say that, I have these people say, well, yeah, you've made millions on the internet, Bob, but who am I? And I had this little cartoon, the New Yorker had these cartoons every week in the New Yorker magazine,
mm-hmm.
every month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two little dogs sitting at the computer screen, and one dog looks at the other and says, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. And I say to all the people who are watching me in my seminars, I say, that's the, what I'm trying to point is, nobody knows who you are when you're on the internet.
There you go.
All they want to know is, do you have a product or an idea that will help them?
What you got.
And they're willing to pay for it. But the internet process means that you have to be willing to just put yourself out there. And there are hundreds of millions of people on the internet. How many of those people do you need
to make a million bucks?
You need 10,000. The people who you could sell or you could give information away to. That's what I like to do on the internet myself. I like to give information away because the more you give away, the more value you become to somebody. They like to have more. So you don't try to sell first. You try to give first.
And Robert Allen, where can people find a copy of Cracking the Millionaire Code?
Oh, any major bookstore. Go online. There are a lot of just put Cracking the Millionaire Code at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or any other online bookstore or any major bookstore in the country. It's been a huge bestseller, and it will be for the next 20 years. It's the Bible of an enlightened entrepreneur.
I love
how they turn their ideas into millions. I wish them well. Thank you very much for having me on your show today.
My pleasure, and I love enlightened wealth. That is such a powerful phrase. Robert Allen, author of Cracking the Millionaire Code, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, The Wake-Up Call. We will be back after this. Stay with us. Our number here is 454-0400. 454-0400 is the phone number. And what we're going to do is take a break, and then I will be back.
Said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline London. Former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi told the British newspaper The Observer this weekend that the abuse of human rights in his country is just as bad now as it was under the Saddam Hussein regime. He said people are doing the same actions as went on under Saddam, and perhaps even worse. He said reports about secret police and secret bunkers where people are being interrogated allow him to draw that conclusion because a lot of Iraqis are dying in such interrogation settings. In a related note, the Washington Post ran a story on Sunday as well that said the head of Iraq's most powerful political party is calling on the U.S. to let Iraqi fighters take a larger role against the insurgents. He said his country will only be able to overcome the insurgency when America lets Iraqis get tough. And Dateline New York. Rapper 50 Cent is one of the biggest names in the music business today. His real name is Curtis Jackson. He was a former crack dealer in New York who was shot 9 times and left for dead back in May of 2000. Who shot him has remained a mystery until last week. A court case ongoing in the Big Apple heard testimony that 50 Cent was targeted by a 3-man hit squad after writing a song that was critical of a vicious drug lord by the name of Kenneth McGriff, who also used the street name Supreme. A former gang member of McGriff's group, by the name of John Reagan, testified that he and 2 others met with McGriff after they had shot Curtis Jackson. They told McGriff how Jackson had squirmed and tried to stop the bullets with his hands, and that they'd left him heavily bleeding somewhere in Queens. The information came out during the trial of Christopher and Irving Lorenzo, who are the heads of record label Murder Incorporated, a controversial recording company that has cutting-edge artists that glorify violence. Drug lord McGriff is being accused of using the record company to launder as much as $1 million from his drug transactions.
His gang ran an operation that took in about $250,000 a day and is believed to have killed as many as 8 people in one day alone back in 1987. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Guy Gulman keeps you company after dark. Online at WGNU.net.
For all of your embroidery and digitizing needs, be sure to visit Pro Shirt Shop in South County. Whether for the bowling league or uniforms at work, let Pro Shirt Shop show you why they're an award-winning industry leader for more than the last 10 years. T-shirts, jackets, hats, carry bags, even a personalized gift for the holidays. Pro Shirt Shop can do it all, and they'll even help you create a logo if needed. Pro Shirt Shop, 816 Lime Ferry Road, or call 638-8631 for Pro Shirt Shop today.
Okay, guys, remember your skills, your interests, and your values, and how they affect you in the world of work, okay?
Today's students face a broader and more confusing range of financial and career decisions than ever before. The adults of tomorrow must be prepared for a complex economy.
Hey, Elton. Great job on that report.
Junior Achievement's latest middle grades program, JA Economics for Success, helps students look at careers and make real-world financial decisions through fun, practical, hands-on learning.
Hey, enjoy your class today.
All right, I'll see you.
Give an hour a week of your time. In just 6 weeks, you will make a difference in a young person's life. Explore the possibilities. Be a JA volunteer.
Hey, guys.
Call a Junior Achievement office near you or visit www.ja.org. Sponsored by the Allstate Foundation.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and
next,
get a new attitude.
Mondays at 9, a visit with director Robert Greenwald on his new movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. It takes you behind the smiley face and into the real lives of workers and families, business owners, and their communities, providing an in-depth look at the company's labor practices, poor benefits, and harsh working conditions. In addition, journalist Liza Featherstone, who wrote the book Selling Women Short, The Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, will also be joining us. Her book examined the historic lawsuit by 1.5 million female workers against the company and how it helped change company policies toward women. Another can't-miss episode of The Wake-Up Call on the next edition of Mondays at 9. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. In the next hour, don't forget the director of Walmart, The High Price of Low Cost, Robert Greenwald, will be joining us, as well as Liza Featherstone, journalist. I want to give away one copy of The Cracking the Millionaire Code. Howard, can we do this? Let's take the eighth caller at 454-6660, 454-6660. We have one copy of Cracking the Millionaire Code. You just heard our author on. I know you all want one copy of it. Eighth caller at 454-6660. It's a wonderful handbook. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's very useful, very empowering. I know that you want a copy of this book, Cracking the Millionaire Code, and the eighth caller at four. We already have our winner. You got to move fast to get a book on the wake-up call here. You got to move fast. Get off our phones. We have a winner right now. We have a winner for the book. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We're going to be doing in the next hour. We have a winner. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to director Robert Greenwald. And this is such an important time to talk to Robert Greenwald and his movie, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Prices. This is the buying season. And it's what is interesting is that I received a fax this morning. A fax from wakeupwalmart.com. There was a massive hand-billing with a consumer alert flyer at all Walmart stores nationwide to alert consumers to the errors discovered in two price accuracy check studies of Walmart stores that show that Walmart charged customers the wrong price in failing to meet the federal standard in at least four states: Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, and California. Two studies were conducted by the University of Illinois Chicago Center for Urban Economic Development and the University of California, Berkeley. We're going to be talking about that and so much more. You don't want to miss this week's Mondays at 9 when we talk to Director Robert Greenwald, Director of Walmart, the high cost of low prices. I'm Liz Brown, and we'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. A break in the action once again at the trial of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad.
We meet on Monday next week.
The judge adjourned the trial until December 5th to give the defense more time to find replacements for two murdered lawyers, as well as another attorney who fled the country after he was wounded. Saddam and his seven co-defendants are accused of killing nearly 150 Muslim men after a 1982 assassination attempt against the former Iraqi leader. ABC's Miguel Marquez in Baghdad.
The chief prosecutor tells ABC News that they have 40 witnesses lined up to testify against Saddam Hussein. All of those witnesses have the option of going behind a screen to testify so that their identities can remain anonymous. Also, the defense, all the defense attorneys have been asked for a list of who they would ask to testify on their behalf. Saddam, his defense lawyer, has submitted nobody.
Trip home from the long holiday weekend, a challenge for many because of the weather. ABC's Aaron Hayes in Arkansas.
In Arkansas, one tornado's high winds and flying debris overturned cars on the highway, killing one driver. It also destroyed several homes and businesses here. And in Colorado, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, blizzard conditions forced the shutdown of major roads. The severe weather caused travel delays throughout the Midwest after the long holiday weekend.
President Bush in Arizona today to promote his plan for immigration reform. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush talks to Border Patrol agents in Arizona and tomorrow walks along a stretch of vulnerable Texas border, giving a new push to a very hot-button issue. The president is still promoting the concept of a temporary workers program that would allow immigrants to get available U.S. jobs but not citizenship. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
This is ABC News.
All your life you've been told to
aim higher.
But if you have high cholesterol, your doctor may tell you to
aim lower.
And if diet and exercise aren't enough, ask about prescription Crestor. Crestor with Suvastatin Calcium. The 10 milligram dose of Crestor along with diet can lower bad cholesterol by up to 52%. That's compared to 7% with placebo. Your results may vary. Crestor has not been shown to prevent heart disease or heart attacks. Crestor is not for everyone, including people with liver disease and women who are nursing, pregnant, or may become pregnant. Simple blood tests are needed to check for liver problems. Tell your doctor about other medications you're taking, or if you experience muscle pain or weakness, as they may be a sign of serious side effects. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal, or for more information, call 1-800-CRESTOR, or visit us at Crestor.com. There you'll also learn how AstraZeneca may be able to help if you can't afford your medications. If high cholesterol has your doctor saying, aim lower with Crestor.
New Jersey-based Merck cutting 7,000 jobs, 11% of its workforce by the end of 2008. The drug giant reeling from the recall of the painkiller Vioxx. The goal is to save up to $4 billion over the next 4 years. Using the Internet for fun and profit, ABC's Karen Chase with the latest trend.
It's not just Internet buying that's on the rise. A new study finds more and more people are selling stuff online, too. One in six Americans have sold either goods or services online, according to researchers at the Pew Internet and American Life Project, at sites like eBay and Craigslist.
The best things in life are free.
me.
The people most likely to cyber sell stuff tend to be more affluent, educated, and internet savvy. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Alleged victims of a defrocked California priest asking for a meeting with Pope Benedict. An advocate for the victims asked for a formal apology today in a letter. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report is brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. In the news this morning, with fuel costs on the rise, the Missouri State Fire Marshal is warning the public to beware of the dangers of alternate heating sources. Within the past 2 weeks, two people in the St. Louis area have died in fires that were apparently caused by space heaters. Missouri State Fire Marshal Randy Cole says people should remember to follow the instructions on those alternative heating sources.
One of the main causes of fires with using portable devices are combustibles that are too close. Anything that is combustible needs to be at least 3 feet away from the space heater.
Cole says people should not use freshly cut wood in their fireplaces or wood-burning stoves, and they should remember to clean out their chimneys and flues. He also reminds people to maintain their smoke detectors. And with the holiday shopping season upon us, many people run the risk of becoming victims of identity theft. Susan McGarvey, a consumer specialist at the University of Missouri, says one way to avoid becoming a victim is to regularly check your credit report. McGarvey says you should never give out personal and account information, and you should not keep things with your Social Security number in your purse or wallet. She says if you become a victim of identity theft, it can take years to correct the damage. People who use Metro Transit services can expect some major changes. Today, Metro will offer more than 20 new and revised routes, which will largely impact the Western Corridor. Copies of the revised Metro bus schedule announcements have been placed in the affected routes. For more information, you can log on to www.metrostlouis.org or call 314-321-2345. And finally, with the weather turning colder, now's the perfect time to make sure your vehicle's in prime winter condition. Bob Schulteis, a natural resource engineer at the University of Missouri, says winter can be especially tough on vehicles. He says one way to winterproof your car is to change the oil on a regular basis.
Use a multi-grade oil such as SAE 10W30 or 5W50 or whatever the owner's manual suggests. Those multi-grade oils will help in easier winter starting.
In addition, Schulteis says you should regularly check your battery, engine, windshield wipers, and fluid. He says it's also important to make sure your tires are inflated to the maximum pressure recommended. And that's WGNU News at this hour, brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Find it at Helzberg Diamonds. For a store near you or to shop online, visit Helzberg.com. Helzberg Diamonds, moments that sparkle. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers. Southbound Hanley is closed to Lissinger due to wires down on the road. You can use Brentwood or Big Bend to get around that area. Northbound 270 at Big Bend, disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked and backup is all the way through Gravoy. Eastbound 40 between the last Missouri exit, there are road maintenance operations going on. That exit's closed. You can use 11th Street. Northbound 55 between 270 and Gasconade. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler Plant and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 at 79 and Blanchett Bridge. Look for no problems there. Westbound 55 between Jefferson Barracks Bridge and Lindbergh. Look for no problems to report. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for that traffic to be easing in both directions. 40 at Hanley. Look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 70 at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 70 between Fifi and Air Flight. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 between Route 3 and Poplar Street Bridge, you still have slow traffic going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. Watson at Pembroke, there's a report of a broken water main, so you can use caution in those areas. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Missouri Lottery Scratchers.
Add a little excitement to your day this holiday season and pick up some scratchers tickets from the Missouri Lottery. They also make great stocking stuffers, the Missouri Lottery. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly sunny today, windy, high in the mid-50s, but the temperature will be falling into the 40s by this afternoon. This evening, mostly cloudy, colder, a chance for flurries after midnight. The low should be in the lower 30s. And moving on to Tuesday, mostly cloudy, colder, chance of flurries. The high will only be in the mid-30s on Tuesday. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy until early evening and becoming partly cloudy. The low should be in the upper 20s. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. The high is expected to be around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is reporting 53 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother. Stop and listen.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother. Stop listening.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. I think it is appropriate that the first Monday after the day after Thanksgiving, the biggest shopping day of the year, I think it's appropriate that we have a discussion about the biggest retailer in the world. We're going to be talking about Walmart this morning, and we're going to be talking about the movie, The High Cost of Low Price. To talk about that, to facilitate this conversation, the cost of Walmart on all of us, I have joining us from Los Angeles, California, Robert Greenwald, director of Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Nice to be with you again.
It's great to have you here. And we also have joining us from New York City, Lisa Featherstone. She's a journalist and author of Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. I want to start with you, Mr. Greenwald. I want to start with you about the film. How's it doing out there?
Well, it's doing great. This is a movie that last week there were between 7,000 and 8,000 screenings in churches and homes and schools and pizza parlors all over the country. And people care about the issue of Walmart. They realize it's hurting their jobs, it's hurting their community. And if they don't, they want to know more about it. So we had a phenomenal turnout. And if you go to the website walmartmovie.com, you can read about the turnout. You can read about the people who are coming forward with their painful stories of how Walmart is affecting them. And you can hear about ways that you can get involved and do something, because this is an issue we don't need to sit back and just be upset about. This is an issue we can go out and really make some difference on.
And I just want to take a moment here to discuss the different way that you've decided to distribute this film. We're not talking about, there wasn't a red carpet walk to see this film. You're doing it in churches. You're doing it in people's homes. Why are you doing it like that?
Well, we want to reach people with this film. Look, I like going to the movies and having my, you know, expensive popcorn and all of those things. But the goal with this film is to get out and really reach all kinds of people. So anybody who has a screen, a TV screen, becomes Universal Studios or Warner Brothers. They get a copy of the film, they put it up, and they invite in people from their church, people from their school, relatives who you're fighting with, people who you disagree with, people who might not have an opinion. And it's a terrific way for people to come together, have a real communal experience, looking, talking, discussing, debating. And the film is very personal. It's very emotional. It's human stories. And it's meant to be seen in this way where listeners like yours all across the country, hundreds of thousands of people, are getting the film and bringing together groups of people and saying, look at these human beings in this movie. They're just like us, and we have to do something to stop this.
And that's one of the different ways that you've told the story in this movie. We're not seeing a bunch of talking heads. We're seeing experts or people that have 16 different titles behind their names. We're seeing real people.
Yeah, exactly. We spent a year and a couple of hundred people worked on this movie. And we found family businesses in the Midwest and workers in Florida and sweatshop and women in China and, again, an environmentalist, people who had been discriminated against over and over again, the real day-to-day people. You know, sometimes we sit back and you read an article or a book and it may be a little abstract, hard to get a hold on it. But when you see their faces, when you see them talking to you, when you see them telling you what's going on in their lives, it's a way really to have emotional impact and to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want Walmart doing that to me. or my family or my community or my health care or my job, and I'm going to do something about it.
And one of the, speaking of the humanness of it and the impact of it, I thought I knew a lot about the things that Walmart was doing when I saw this movie. The thing that impacted me in a way that I hadn't expected to be, or the voice that impacted me in the way that I hadn't expected to be impacted, were the people from China. Could you tell us about that? Because I know if I had any question about whether I was going to buy anything from Walmart after seeing that piece, I don't see how anybody can walk away and buy anything at Walmart. Talk to us about that.
Well, we've all sort of heard a little bit about how Walmart is importing $18 billion from China. This year it'll actually be $24 billion. But it's kind of, again, it's like it's a fact. It's a statistic. It's kind of out there. So what the amazing group that I work with did is we spent months and found several stories of workers in sweatshops in China. A couple of my colleagues went over there, and they had to do it undercover because it obviously was not welcome. They got some cameras in, and they talked to a woman who worked in a sweatshop in China. And again, she is just like us. She's trying to help her family. She's trying to survive.
Her mother loves her, you know.
Exactly.
Go ahead and talk to us about what she experienced, because it's just breathtaking.
Well, what she experienced was, you know, a woman who came to the big city to try to do better for her family, like many of us do. And the exploitation, the hours, the 7 days a week, the 12, 14, 16 hours a day to make these little goodies that, you know, cost maybe, I think it was $1, and Walmart sells them for $10, $12, $14. And it's a kind of outrageous exploitation. But what I wanted to do was show somebody very human and say, you know what, we have more in common with her. She's not the enemy. The enemy is the large multinational corporations like Walmart that are getting us to compete with each other for the worst jobs and pushing us down and down and down.
And the other piece of it is, and I've talked about this on my show, and it's something that I don't understand, and I don't think that I ever want to understand, but the relentless and phenomenal greed of these companies. I mean, talk about the dorm room that the workers live in when they work in China and how much they have to pay. And you know, it's my understanding that they have to pay even if they don't live there.
Yeah, that was eye-opening. I learned so much doing this. They have to live in the dorm rooms provided by the factory, and even if they move out, they're still paying them rent and utilities because that's, again, just another way that they are taking advantage. But I think you really hit it on the head. One of the things that I wanted to raise in the film with the question is, look, no one's saying people can't make a living, but when is enough enough? Mm-hmm. When Lee Scott, the head of Walmart, paid $28 million last year, and he has the audacity, the nerve to go on television and say, I shared a hotel room and saved my company $100 last year. That's pure out-and-out hypocrisy. And the Walton family, who I had never heard of a year ago, they're worth $100 billion. Now, when I read it for the first time, I thought they meant $100 million, which is a lot of money, right? $100 billion is incomprehensible amounts of money. So this notion that Walmart is doing it for us, the shoppers, is just nonsense.
And I'd like to go to Lisa here for a moment. Lisa, you have written a book, Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. I want to talk about the people of color component to your research and information into how Walmart does things. People of color really have responded to this issue with regard to how people are treated by Walmart. Is that true?
Absolutely, it is true. On the one hand, I mean, people of color actually have a particular leverage when it comes to trying to change Walmart because Walmart is constantly marketing to low-income customers and particularly to people of color. That's a part of its market the market that it really wants, and people of color have responded, in many cases by blocking Walmart stores from opening up in their communities. There's a a wonderful segment in Robert's movie about battle for Walmart's attempt to come into Inglewood, California.
That's a great story.
Predominantly black suburb. And, you know, and how the people there resisted it. And you know, it has many different levels, because in many communities of color, people feel correctly insulted that Walmart is coming in there and saying, we're going to give you these low wage jobs that will not even get your family off of welfare, and we think you should be grateful. That's what you deserve, and that's what you should expect. And in many cases, they're also angry because sometimes the community leaders say, "Well, we need the jobs," and that's also insulting in its way.
You use the phrase plantation mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about your choice of that phrase. I know what it means as a woman of African descent, but tell the listening audience what you meant when you used it.
There is a plantation mentality. Walmart was founded in 1962 in Rogers, Arkansas. The very first Walmart, the very first Five and Dime store that later would become the first Walmart, is right across the street from a Confederate monument. The plantation mentality is that Walmart treats its workers just terribly. Low wages, stingy health benefits, discrimination, race and sex discrimination, numerous violations of their legal rights, yet expects workers to be grateful. There's a very paternalistic attitude, very similar to slaveholders in the Old South, saying...
And colonialistic.
Mm-hmm. Saying, this is the best these people can do.
Kind of like Barbara Bush.
Have repeatedly said, we're giving these people much better opportunities than they would have, and they're really very grateful for them.
Kind of like the Barbara Bush assessment of the evacuees at the Superdome.
Exactly. These people are underprivileged anyway, so this is working quite well for them, is I think what she said. And the Walmart mentality is very similar. Not these people are making us our billions of dollars, so we should be grateful and share our wealth with them, which is what they really should think. Instead, it's, these people should just be grateful for whatever crumb they get.
And then I love the story about the Walmart Visitor Center in Bentonville, Arkansas. What's right across the street from that?
A Confederate monument. So that's a very powerful piece of symbolism for anyone who should choose to visit it.
And Robert, let me get back to you for a second. I've heard the whines, I think it would be fair to say, or the assessment from the Walmart side of the fence, that they are being unfairly scapegoated in this, and this is a propaganda piece. How do you respond to those two assertions?
Well, it's hard to feel sorry for a company that has $300 billion in revenue last year.
I don't feel the pain of that. I don't.
It's so hard. I mean, my pity just goes out to those poor belated folks.
Well, the rich have suffered enough, huh?
Right. They only made $10 billion in profit last year.
There you go.
So we have to really feel for them. But here's what they do. Look, this is a company that's supposed to make profit, right? So what do they do when they know about the film? They go out and they create a war room in Bentonville, Arkansas. This
across from the Confederate South.
Yeah, right. Hand in hand, And they then hire at great expense. They're paying millions of dollars to these spin doctors and experts who come down there and have launched a full frontal attack on myself, on the film, on people like Liza, and her great book, by the way. And instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, they're treating it like a political campaign in which they're trying to attack us. But what I keep saying is, hey, fools, you're attacking your potential customers. Do you really want to attack all the church people and the women and the environmentalists and the African-American community and the student community, all of whom are coming together on this issue? instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got to learn something. We've got to change. We've got to try to fix this. We've got to do better. But no, they're spending all of this money on phony ads and high-priced spin doctors.
I was watching TNT yesterday as I'm winding down my Thanksgiving festivities, and there was a movie on, and now I've forgotten what the name of the movie is, but the commercial preceding it, every time the movie came on, it was, this is a Walmart Walmart feature of black. It was like they were a tribute to the. It was a tribute to the black community.
Right.
Every time this movie came, you know, and you hear these things, and when I think about that spin room that you're talking about, doesn't that infer that it's about spinning this and not the truth of this? Because a political campaign is about spin. It's not about truth. So they're spinning this.
That's totally what they're doing, and it. You know what I said over and over again? They should fire. Here's what they. Their own numbers, by the way, they spend $3,800,000 every single day just telling their story. Now, that's not advertising bikes and, you know, toilet paper. That's convincing us that Walmart was put on Earth right next to Mother Teresa just because they're concerned about our goodness. So here's a simple proposal, $3,800,000 a day, which, by the way, is about what they spend on health care for all their employees. 1 year. Fire all the spin doctors, get rid of all the fake advertisement, take that money and put it into health care for your employees. And boy, would they see a difference in the perception of their company. But instead, they're going down this horrible road of, just as you say, spinning, which is false, and spending a huge amount of time and money, by the way, attacking me and the film. If you go to our website, walmartmovie.com, we have a whole section on fear and smear, which shows all of the efforts they're making to try to trash us.
And, Lisa, I'm certain that because Walmart is the fair company that they say that they are, they carry your book, The Landmark, Selling Women Short, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. No, they do not. Your listeners will not be surprised to hear they do not sell my book. They do sell one of my other books on their website, which is pretty funny because, you know, it was a much more obscure book that didn't get nearly as much attention, but they don't carry this one.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Lisa Featherstone, journalist and author of Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. She's joining us from New York City, and we also have director Robert Greenwald from Los Angeles talking about this incredible film, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and we will be back. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
For any such, and I hate Walmart. I don't like whips, I don't like chains, I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping, except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us,
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
Diabetes is a killer. After I was diagnosed, I didn't feel sick, so I didn't listen to my doctor. Then it struck. I had a heart attack, then a stroke, and I was only 49.
Most people with diabetes also have high blood pressure and cholesterol, which can cause severe heart damage. In fact, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Call 1-800-DIABETES for your free diabetes survival guide. Choose to live.
Don't let diabetes destroy your life.
The pearl, beautiful, lustrous, developed through years of hard work, patience, and the occasional grain of sand. The 30th annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party is a true pearl. Sunday, December 18th from 3 to 7 p.m. at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Seating is limited to 500 persons. Party and dinner tickets are $10 in advance. This includes a family-style buffet, a DJ with music from Complete Music Company, and entertainment from the Sweet and Sassy Dancers and the Jerry Stretz Professional Dancers. It also includes drawings for gift box door prizes, including, appropriately, a 30th anniversary set of pearls. Donation-only tickets are just $5. Don't wait. Get your tickets from B. Parks at AARP, Martha West at Gateway Hubert Wheeler School, Rita Cathy at Contemporary Living Options, or Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The 30th Annual Chuck Norman Charity Christmas Party, Sunday, December 18th at Orlando Gardens, 8352 Watson Road in Webster Groves. Like all true pearls, something to be treasured, something not to be missed.
Tuesday morning on the wake-up call, we have an interesting racial discrimination case we're going to look at. It seems that an African-American entrepreneur by the name of John McDonald owned and operated a Domino's Pizza franchise in Las Vegas. When the annual conference of franchisees was held, he was the only black face in the place. Shortly thereafter, the parent corporation decided to terminate a multi-year franchise agreement Mr. McDonald had signed with Domino's. This has damaged him financially, and he says it's for no other reason than because he's black. The case is soon to be heard by the Supreme Court. Was Domino's thinking that a guy named McDonald had to be white? You'll hear this interesting situation presented Tuesday morning at 8, exclusively on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Informative. Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Half the generations have come and gone.
No, 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 not there.
Along came Walton from Arkansas.
No, 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 not there.
Got golden calf by the truckload.
No, 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 not there.
They want to build a big box at the crossroads.
No, no.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
5 a.m. at the Cascade Township Walmart. The doors open. Holiday shoppers rush in. Immediately, one customer is pushed to the ground. There would be more to follow.
Well, I just saw madness. That's all. Just complete mayhem. And then when I saw that lady knocked down and then people trampling over her.
This is ridiculous. I do not want my life in danger for this. We got babies getting hurt, knocking people over. This is not worth it. I don't know that I have to get beat up to try to get a sale.
Two shoppers from Grand Rapids did. One of them, 13-year-old Deja McHaren, loaded into this ambulance.
They stumbled over a pregnant lady, and Deja was trying to help her get up, and they stumbled over her and stepped on her back.
Also going to the hospital, 37-year-old Doretha Arnold Youngblood, complaining of an injured knee. Her husband, Johnny Youngblood, believes Walmart should hire trained, uniformed security guards to help bring order to this early morning holiday crowd and not leave those duties to Walmart associates.
Walmart did not do enough to protect us.
We asked the managers here at this time. They have no comment. We phoned corporate offices in Bentonville, Arkansas. We're still looking for answers.
And there you go. And there you go. Robert Greenwald, the director of the High Cost Walmart, the High Cost of Low Price, and Lisa Featherstone are joining us this morning. She's a journalist and author of Selling Women Short, the Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. Walmart didn't do too well last year in the holiday season. I guess they're trying to make up for it, huh, Robert?
Yes, they are, and we know that there's all that huge competition around the time of holidays. With low-cost bargains, but that's also short-lived. Although it's interesting, that clip you just played about the Walmart needing to do better on security, one of the most damning things, I think, in the film is the amount of crime they have in their parking lots. I mean, they're really not safe. All over the country, we found incident after incident. And, you know, I was surprised because, again, it's relatively inexpensive. All they need to do is put up some of those security cameras, have somebody watch the security cameras, We have this very painful story where they had the cameras up and they wouldn't even hire someone at $10 an hour to watch them, and then put people in those little putt-putt carts going around the parking lots. But they haven't even done that. And this is the security of their customers. They're much more worried about protecting against shoplifting, where they have hundreds of cameras inside the store that they watch, versus protecting people who buy something and then leave the store.
And, Aliza, I read an article last week about two studies that came out, one from the University of Illinois, Chicago Center for Urban Economic Development, and the other for the University of California, Berkeley, about the fact that Walmart is charging people when you get to the counter and they charge up their sales, they're overcharging you.
That's a number of studies have come out showing that, and I'm not as familiar with that data as the people who did the research are, but that certainly is something which so could lead to customers raising questions about Walmart as well.
When you wrote your book, The Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart, What caught your eye about this story? Was this something that you had been working on, or did you do this because it's about women?
Well, I had been writing about labor issues for a long time, and I was particularly interested in issues facing low wage workers. So, I'd been hearing for a long time about Walmart and how Walmart drags down wages in the retail industry, what really caught my eye about this case when it was first filed was the book, for people who don't know, is tells the story of Betty Dukes versus Walmart Stores, which is the largest civil rights class action suit in history, a sex discrimination case against the company. And it was just the idea that Betty Dukes, a middle-aged African-American woman in Pittsburgh, California, who was at that time a cashier, was taking on the most powerful company in the world. And I thought, well, who is Betty Dukes? And that's amazing that she would do that. And as I looked into it, the other women in the lawsuit were also mostly these low-wage employees. And so I was really intrigued by who these women were and why they would take on such a powerful company.
And what's the status of the lawsuit as we speak today?
Well, a year ago this past summer, a judge ruled that the case should move forward as a class action suit. The judge actually compared it to Brown versus Board of Education, the historic school desegregation case, in terms of its social and historical significance that it could have. Walmart has appealed that decision.
Because they want everybody to have to fight these battles individually
opposed
to
Walmart
a case.
Walmart wants everyone to bring in, all these women to bring individual lawsuits against Walmart. That's what they think should happen. So Walmart has appealed the case, and at the end of this past summer, a three-judge panel in San Francisco heard Walmart's appeal, heard the plaintiff's arguments again, and we'll see what happens. No decision has been made yet.
And, Robert, we were kind of joking before about the fact that Lisa's book is not being sold in Walmart stores. It's a big deal. Walmart corners the market on so many different industries, doesn't it?
Yes. In fact, in my world, the film world, they sell 60% of the DVDs around the country. So a lot of the film studios are actually, I've gotten calls from heads of studios who've seen the movie who congratulate me. Now, these are big, powerful men and women, and they say, I wish we could do something, but Walmart has so much of our business, which is another reason that we're using the Walmart movie website to get the word out there so people who not able to get it at Walmart are able to get it through the website. and through lots of video stores around the country that are carrying it.
And when we talk about bookstores, they're really one of the top booksellers in the country, right?
That's absolutely right. They are, and it's very powerful when Walmart does not carry a book or a magazine or a record album. And in fact, there's been a lot of other evidence of Walmart deciding not to carry certain products that it takes a dislike to. Walmart didn't carry the Daily Show book, America the Book, because there was concern that some of its very conservative customers might object to the naked picture of the naked Supreme Court justices. So, that's a huge influence that Walmart can have over the cultural landscape in many parts of the country. If you want to buy a book, you got to go to Walmart.
And the other piece of it is that not only are they the biggest bookstores and the biggest video and DVD sellers, but they also, in becoming the biggest, you don't become that, do you, Robert, by not killing off other business? That's why we don't have that many toy stores anymore.
Yeah, so one of the devastating effects of Walmart, and this is where they were so successful in Englewood in stopping them, is they do destroy family businesses. Now, what the folks in Englewood did was they got everyone together. They got the churches together. They got the family businesses together. They got the homeowners together. They got labor together. And they were very, very successful. Walmart spent $1 million in an election campaign, and they were defeated. But the problem is that they're alienating, again, so many different constituencies, which is why I think this idea of hiring political hacks to attack everyone who's in opposition to them is absolutely nuts. This is not a campaign about winning votes. This is a store that wants people to buy there, and you can't keep shooting all the customers and expect them to come by there.
And also, people have access to the truth or the lies about Walmart. They can walk into a store and see that they can find out the information, unlike about whether or not the United States Senate had access to all of the intelligence information. We have to rely upon them in some respect of their truth-telling this to us. People can find out about the truth or lies about Walmart, can't they?
Absolutely, and again, it's one of the most exciting reports we're getting about people who are seeing the film. They're having these discussions, and people are coming forward, people who work at Walmart, people who have worked at Walmart. In the movie, we have three managers who've been there a total of 47 years, and they tell you about how they would go in on a Saturday morning and cheat the employees, change their time card so they didn't get overtime. And they said this happened over and over and over again. There are about 35 lawsuits around the country where Walmart is being sued by employees for cheating them out of overtime or forcing them to work off the clock. I mean, again, this is not an accident. This is policy. This comes from Bentonville, Arkansas, the headquarters, and as a result of, as we were talking before, when is enough enough? This notion that you have to squeeze every nickel, no matter what the cost, people who have not done anything who should be punished by the Walmart this way.
I have a question for you, Robert. After watching the young Asian, the Chinese woman who talked in your film, has any harm come to her? Do we know what's happened to her? Because I couldn't believe the things that she was saying. I couldn't help but think, surely there were some repercussions to her.
Well, I don't know that they've seen the film in her community. Mm-hmm. However, I don't want to go into too many details, mm-hmm. but there were some difficulties in the filming process. There was some police action towards some of the people who were working on the film, and she did ultimately lose her job and has moved to another job where I believe she's okay now, was the last report we'd heard.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to director Robert Greenwald, and we are also talking to author and journalist Lisa Featherstone. She's written Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. And, of course, Robert Greenwald is the director of Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price. And what's the website again, Robert, that people can get the film?
It's walmartmovie.com. Deidre.com.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
In the window, those are my grandparents way back when. They started this store in 1904, and it stayed in the family since then. If you took them today out by the highway, they would never believe their own eyes. Instead of green fields and trees, they would see there the reason their little business must die.
Is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Baghdad. A new video has appeared that shows security guards shooting Iraqi civilians at will. There's concern that the deaths of hundreds of civilians in Iraq could be the work of private security companies that are not under any form of regulation in Iraq. Four separate clips show guards using automatic weapons to shoot up civilian cars along the road from Baghdad to the airport. That's a route that's described as the most dangerous in the entire country. The British Foreign Office is asking Aegis, one of the largest security contractors operating in Iraq, to look into this matter and find out if any of its personnel are involved. A spokesman for the Iraqi Interior Ministry says there have been numerous claims from families who have said relatives have been shot by private security firms driving in convoys. And when they kill people, they simply drive away and nothing is done about it. And Dateline Phoenix. Here's some shocking information about food consumption in the United States. The Agriculture Department says a recent study indicates that 27% of all the food produced in the United States goes to waste every year. Another study over a 10-year period by the University of Arizona revealed that the amount of produced food that goes uneaten could be as high as 50%. A typical American household lets 14% of the food it buys each month go to waste. 15% of that amount includes products that are still within their expired date but never opened. And the average American family of four throws away meat, fruit, vegetables, and grain products worth nearly $600 every year. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Today's solutions can be found when you join Dave Lenihan online at WGNU.net.
Now you can end and start your week on Tuesday nights. Join George Cotton and Syl Wilson for The Real Deal on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. Check out George and Syl's informative and controversial talk show every Tuesday from 10 p.m. to midnight here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
I know someone with lupus.
My girlfriend.
My mommy.
We work together.
My sister.
My neighbor.
I know someone with lupus. She's so tired.
Fatigue, achy joints, and fever.
Severe chest pains, heart problems.
Her kidneys gave up.
He had a seizure.
Pain never stops.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know has lupus.
But there is hope. For information, contact the Lupus Foundation of America at 888-38-LUPUS or lupus.org.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenihan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Aren't they great? I just
just love them. One pair of shoes with a little swoosh on them. That little swoosh makes everybody wanna. Made by a girl just 17 in a sweatshop over in the Philippines. Making 50 cents an hour, 12 hours a day. Never had enough left from her pay to send to her parents whose farm was lost when they built the golf course for her bosses. Who owned many shoes with a little swoosh on them. That little swoosh makes everybody wanna.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Corrupt to become morally debased. So who is the most corrupt in America? Is it Congressman Tom DeLay, Senator Bill Frist, former Bush official Scooter Libby, or Walmart CEO Lee Scott? Over 600,000 Walmart workers have no company health care. Walmart repeatedly violated child labor laws, and over 1.5 million women are suing Walmart for discrimination. So, who is the most corrupt? Lee Scott and Walmart.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown, and I'm talking to Director Robert Greenwald, Director of Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Lisa Featherstone, journalist and author of Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. Robert, coming in, that was a commercial, a new ad campaign, actually, saying that Walmart's CEO, Lee Scott, is the most corrupt person in America. What impact do you see something like that having? And does that have any connection with your film?
Well, I think that the overall, what the film is a part of, and Liza's terrific book, and the Walmart Watch people in Washington, D.C., it's a campaign to change Walmart. And so all of this is evidence that they need to change. Lee Scott's corruption, his obscene salary relative to the workers, the fact of how hard it is for workers to get paid for their hard work there, the fact that they don't have health care and they make it so difficult, the fact that Walmart is taking billions of dollars in our taxes, the fact that they're not providing safety for their customers. I think all of this adds to the overall story, which is Walmart has to change. And what we encourage people to do, again, as I said, is to get involved. You can work with your legislators. There are laws that need to be passed. You can work in your community to stop them from coming in. Or if they're coming in, there's a good plan now called community benefits where people say, you know what? Yeah, we need jobs in our community, but we want jobs that pay decently. We want jobs that respect us. We want people who are going to maintain the integrity of our community and come in Walmart but meet the following standards.
Lisa, do you see any change in any of the behavior of Walmart since this huge lawsuit by women against Walmart? Positive change.
Yes. I mean, as we've been talking about, most of the changes is, you know, in their escalation of their spin efforts. You know, of course, we've seen lots of advertisements about what a great company Walmart is for women. And those are, of course, meaningless. But they have made a few changes in response to the lawsuit. They've posted jobs much more systematically within the company so that women no longer have to rely on their managers to tell them when jobs are opening up. That was a huge problem that was behind a lot of the discrimination. You can now apply for a job over the company computer as opposed to going through your manager. So many of the typical changes that companies have made when confronted by class action lawsuits over discrimination. But Walmart has actually been forced to make those changes much earlier. You know, typically companies wait until a lawsuit is over to make most of these changes. I think that Walmart has been moved to make some of those kinds of changes without any kind of settlement because of all the public pressure on Walmart on other issues. You know, I think that that's actually really helped the women of Walmart to get a slightly better situation, is that there are so, because of efforts like Robert's film, because of groups like Walmart Watch and Wake Up Walmart, and the many, many people in their communities putting pressure on Walmart to be a better company, that makes something like a lawsuit have more impact.
Robert, like we talked earlier in the interview, that you are doing a whole different way of distributing this film. Do you have any favorite story about a particular launching of the film?
Well, we got quite a bunch of letters and emails and phone calls. There was a couple that I liked particularly. There was a pizza parlor that showed the film, which I thought was terrific. There was a bike store outside Philadelphia that showed it because it said Walmart bikes were such pieces of junk that this guy wouldn't even repair them anymore, and he wanted to alert his customers. And then there was a photo we had, I think it was Minnesota. It was 1,000 people who went to a screening there, and they were lined up in the snow waiting to get in. And then we had the most wonderful story of the faith community, churches and synagogues and mosques, many getting together to screen the film and to have sermons and discussions, because our economy and how we're going to treat people is a moral issue.
Yes, it is.
And I was thrilled to see that we had over 1,100 screenings last Sunday in churches and places of faith, where people were raising this issue and having sermons about it and discussions about the morality of greed and when is enough enough and how are we going to treat our people.
Well, I want to thank you both very much, Robert Greenwald, director of Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Lisa Featherstone, journalist and author of Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Workers' Rights at Walmart. Thank you both for joining us here on Mondays at 9.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Liz.
Take
Bye
care.
Now.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. You know what that
says? WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Was the kickoff to the holiday shopping season hot or cold? Maybe lukewarm, say analysts. Bargains lured shoppers to stores on Friday in bigger numbers than a year ago, but economists estimate that sales from the Thanksgiving holiday weekend were weaker than a year ago. Bill Martin of ShopperTrack.
We're projecting, based on our information, about a 4.5% increase for the holiday season, which begins on Black Friday and runs through December 31st.
Today's Black Monday, when Internet sales are expected to begin in